AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy skies, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. An unlikely pair is forming a business partnership. Bruce Morton has the details.
Denver and Aurora, two longtime adversaries, are joining forces to support an 1,800-acre mixed-use development called High Point at DIA. In an announcement made on a windswept patch of land near Tower Road, Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper and Aurora counterpart Ed Tower said the proposed site at Pena Boulevard and E-470 will include a golf course, hotel, and a high-end business park. Groundbreaking is set for about a year from now. Bruce Morton, Denver.
A 17-year-old Chatfield High School student will be sentenced today after pleading guilty in November to a series of charges, including vehicular homicide. Valerie Leak was at the wheel when three of her friends died in a car wreck 2 years ago next month. Leak's plea bargain calls for a maximum term of 6 years in youth corrections. There were seven people in the Chevy Impala, and court papers say four of them asked her to slow down. The crash happened at over 70 miles an hour on Ken Carroll Avenue. The missing elderly Aurora man, who was missing for most of the day yesterday, turned up safe and sound early this morning. 79-year-old Jack Williams disappeared yesterday morning on the way to a doctor's appointment. The man has dementia and diabetes and had left home without his diabetes medication and without the oxygen he needs to breathe. A Broomfield police officer spotted the missing man about 1 o'clock this morning, had a doctor check him out, and got him back home safely. Nearly $400,000 in additional funds have been redirected into Colorado's 15 local health departments to be used to provide immunizations for children to protect them from childhood disease. Doug Benevento, the executive director of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, said that the funds, which were to have been used for other public health purposes, should instead be used to improve and expand immunization programs across the state. Benevento said, quote, "There are few things more important in Colorado than making certain that the state's children have all of the immunizations required to protect them from childhood diseases." The funds are in addition to $500,000 that Governor Bill Owens recently allocated to the health department to be used to help meet the state's immunization needs. Michael Jackson has pleaded not guilty in a California courtroom today to charges of child molestation. The pop singer angered the judge by arriving 20 minutes late to his hearing. Judge Rodney Melville told Jackson his tardiness was a, quote, insult to the court, and he warned the singer not to be late again. The judge has imposed a partial gag order on the participants in the case and has set February 13th as the date for another pretrial hearing. Meanwhile, Jackson's defense team has added another high-powered lawyer. Current attorney Mark Garagos asked New York criminal lawyer Ben Braffman to attend this morning's hearing. The Arctic deep freeze that is covering the Northeast today is also leading to possible rolling blackouts. Power companies in New England are asking customers to conserve electricity. Meteorologists say the worst of the cold weather is probably over, but residents won't see a quick thaw. Temperatures may warm to 30 degrees by Sunday. Democratic presidential hopefuls are down to the final days in the Iowa caucus, which are going to be held on Monday, and latest polls show a widening gap for the frontrunner. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry is now about 5 percentage points ahead of his competitors and has taken the lead over former Vermont Governor Howard Dean. Analysts predict the results of the caucuses will be historically close. A recent government test of air defense measures around Washington finds the city is still vulnerable to an airborne terrorist attack. Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution says while F-16 fighter jets are available, they usually can't get into the air fast enough to stop an attack.
Even if it's on strip alert, you still need a couple minutes to get the pilot from the hut by the runway into the plane. You could keep the plane turned on, but you need probably 10 to 15 minutes to get in the air. And you're not going to have more than 10 or 15 minutes of warning in many cases if the hijacking occurs late in the flight.
The North American Air Defense Command conducted the test of air defenses, finding that if the F-16s couldn't be scrambled in time, Humvee-launched surface-to-air missiles could be used as a last resort. In sports, the Denver Nuggets have a home game tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Nuggets beat the Mavericks by 10 points when the two teams last played in November. At John Elway Showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. There are no worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
It's kind of a rough start this lunch hour. This reported service of Taco Bell just getting a report of an accident with injuries. Northbound on I-25 at Evans. There may be another one up closer to Colorado Boulevard. So a lot of emergency equipment rolling into that area of the T-Rex plant. Northbound on I-25 up in the Mousetrap. Car ran out of gas, and there's a police officer on the scene trying to take care of that, causing a little bit of minor slowing. Northbound on Havana at I-70 getting back to normal after an earlier disabled vehicle. Everything else around town, though, looking pretty decent. For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, get the new cheesy bean and rice burrito. It's freshly prepared just like all your Taco Bell favorites. When you want quality, think outside the bun. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Ridgepoint pressure over our area. We're going to see sun and clouds. A little cooler, though, high of 46. That's compared to yesterday's 54, but we're still above our average of 43. Later on tonight, just a few clouds down to 24. And tomorrow, lots of sunshine and just a few clouds.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We were supposed to have Linda Fairstein on today. She's in court, and she's going to be unable to join us. She will be in town next week, I think, at Tattered Cover. And so you can check your listings and see what day it will be. And I'm sort of sorry that we're not having her on today, but then that means it's more time for you and me. And I'm getting ready to do Fox News, and I'm going to share with you some of the stuff that I think we're going to be talking about tomorrow night. And also, excuse me. Oh, my voice is being misplaced a little bit here. I'm getting ready to go to Italy, so I'm trying to do 50 things all at one time. If you're just joining us and haven't been listening in the last couple of days, I'm going to be on Fox News Channel, which is national television, tomorrow night. Somewhere between 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening. It's the John Kasich. He hosts it. He's a former congressman from Ohio, and the show is called Heartland, Fox News Channel, Fair and Balanced, and I'll be in there probably around 6:20, they're telling me, but that can all change. Somewhere between 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening. So if you're at home, you can tune in and watch me get eviscerated by my very pit bull competition, Mike Gallagher. We'll see what happens. We're going to be talking about politics. We're going to be talking about the outrage of the week, and I'll share some of the things that we're going to be talking about as we continue. If you have been a listener to KNRC Radio, you know that we are local. We're pretty much live. We are a unique voice in radio, especially in a landscape of consolidated ownership. Walmart across the way, Clear Channel, owns most of the radio stations in this country. So we're in a time of, to be euphemistic about it, consolidated radio, homogenized radio. You don't get a lot of choices. But when you have live local, when you have local ownership, as you do with KNRC, you have real radio, I think. And in the light of all that, in the spirit of all that, I wanted to share this with you because I thought it was really a wonderful description of what we used to have and what we don't pretty much have anymore. And this is Walter Kern writing about this. I used to take a long road trip every year or two, he writes, usually in the middle of summer, with no fixed schedule or specific destination, just a vague intention to try new foods and admire the changing scenery. And though I always took along an atlas, I rarely used it. I navigated by radio. You used to be able to do that in America, chart your course by the accents, news, and songs streaming in from the nearest AM transmitter. A drawling update on midday cattle prices meant I was in Wyoming or Nebraska. A guttural rant about City Hall corruption told me I'd reach Chicago within the hour. A soaring rhythmic sermon on fornication, welcome to Alabama. The music, too, Texas swing in the Southwest oil country, polka in North Dakota, nonstop Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and Jethro Tull in the Minneapolis-St. Paul suburbs. What's more, the invisible people who introduced the songs gave the impression that they listened to them at home. They were locals with local tastes. I felt like a modern Walt Whitman on those drives. When I turned on the radio, I heard America singing, even in the dumb banter of morning zoo hosts. But then, last summer, rolling down a highway somewhere between Montana and Wisconsin, something new happened. I lost my way, and the radio couldn't help me find it. I twirled the dial, but the music and the announcers all sound alike, drained, disconnected from geography, reshuffling the same pop playlists and canned bad jokes. What a miserable trip. I heard America droning. Recently, I found out whom to blame. A company called Clear Channel Communications, the mammoth buyer and consolidator of hundreds of independent local radio stations, along with its smaller competitors, Infinity Broadcasting and Cumulus Media, is body-snatching America's sonic soul, turning Whitman's vivacious democratic cacophony into a monotonous, numbing hum. No matter where a person lives these days, particularly in Minot, North Dakota, where Clear Channel runs all six commercial stations in town, he's probably within range of an affiliate, if not three or four, since the company buys in bulk. Pop stations, rock stations, talk stations, the works. Worse, quite a few of these stations don't really exist, not in the old sense. They're automated pods downloading their programming from satellites linked to centralized, far-off studios where announcers who have never even set foot in Tucson, Little Rock, Akron, or Boston, take your pick, rattle off promos and wisecracks by the hundreds, then flip a switch and beam them to your town as if they're addressing its residents personally, which they aren't. They don't even know the weather there. What results is a transcontinental shower of sound that seems to issue from heaven itself, like the edicts of the Wizard of Oz, in a way that other media companies can only dream of, though a controversial recent FCC rule change permitting concentrated corporate ownership of TV stations may eventually make these dreams true. Clear Channel controls its portions of the airways as thoroughly as Britannia once ruled the oceans. Even the FCC has faced this fact, which may be why, of all the broadcast media, it is allowing to clump together for market share. It made one pointed exception. Radio. Clear Channel holds no monopoly by any means. Its nearly 1,250 stations represent only 10% or so of the national total. But, considering that the company was founded only in 1996, its growth rate is astonishing. If given another 10 years to spread it unchecked, Clear Channel might cover the dial from end to end, not just in some cities, but coast to coast. America would be one big Minot then, with literally nowhere to turn except Clear Channel, whom I refer to as the Walmart across the way. This prospect, Walter Kern continues, might not be so troubling if radio weren't the most intensely intimate of all electronic media, forging a bond between broadcaster and listener that feels, even though it's not real, like true companionship. Though TV news anchors like to fancy themselves as guests in their audience's living rooms, they sit behind an impenetrable wall of glass that no amount of feigned eye contact can overcome. Between TV and TV land, there's always a fence. But radio creates a different landscape. Open, inclusive, neighborly. When a DJ asks a trivia question and promises concert tickets to the fifth caller who answers correctly, my urge to pick up the phone is instantaneous, as is my urge to wait to hear who won, in case I know him, and very often I do. This sense of connection is fragile, though. Bounce it off an orbiting satellite, cut it with generic pre-taped humor bits, then filter it through some distant corporate headquarters, and radio land will be like a land of strangers. Clear Channel's critics, who multiply each day, it seems, tend to come from the political left. Their big beef is the network's supposed conservative bias, which, for attentive regular listeners, isn't surprising, isn't supposition at all. The powerful syndicator of Rush Limbaugh and numerous other popular right-wing talk jocks is truer and bluer than Oliver North's flag pin. But for me, that's a minor grievance, mere partisan grumbling. It's the creeping paralysis of our national vocal cords and the gradual atrophying of our eardrums that bothers me and would surely have bothered Walt Whitman. That's why I'll probably skip this summer's road trip. I fear that I'll drive my car into a ditch. Radio from nowhere, produced by nobodies, eventually makes you nod off at the wheel. Ooh, that is so good. Isn't that wonderful? And then somebody else says, well, at least there's an internet. That radio, I think in its most honest octave, is so special and so intimate. And Walter Kernan, he wrote this in the New York Times, really nailed it. And I wonder if you want to respond to what he has written, 303-382-1150, because here we are, we're live, we're local, we're really an exception. And at the Walmart across the way, all, you know, you're getting, and in many markets in the United States, you're getting a lot of canned programming. You're getting consolidated programming. They're just trying to play the hits. And all the octaves that exist outside of that bullseye, that sweet spot that they call the hits, none of that really matters. And you're losing so much texture and so much richness and so many different voices. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Al Franken is just signed to do a liberal talk show up against Rush Limbaugh from noon to 3. Right now, you're only going to hear it in Chicago. I don't think it's they've gotten past Chicago yet. But Al Franken said, we're trying to get sued by a right-wing jerk, he said, hence the name of our program, The Al Franken Factor. Remember that? His book was number 7 million, practically, on the Amazon list. Remember that, Franken's book, Al Franken's? And O'Reilly was so furious at Franken for dissing him at a book conference that he sued him, which only made the book go shoot up to number one. And actually, Franken's book has done a whole lot better than O'Reilly's book. So, and here is the Wall Street Journal, Radio Days. Rush wasn't built in a day. That's Michael Harrison's take on this week's announcement by Progress Radio that it has signed comedian author Al Franken for a daily show intended to provide a liberal challenge to the medium's 600-station gorilla Rush Limbaugh. The founder and editor of Talkers Magazine, the industry's lead trade journal, says that if Progress Radio fails, it will be because of the impossibly high expectations it has set for itself. It takes a long time to develop an audience, and Rush Limbaugh took many years before he became successful. So I just want to tell you that. And the lore in the radio business is that unless you are a conservative, you can't succeed. I think there are a lot of people out there who are so disenchanted with conservative talk radio that they've walked away from it, talk radio completely. And a radio station like KNRC, where we provide a whole range of opinion, not just on one side, but both sides, as many sides as there are, slowly brings people back, listener by listener by listener. You may want to comment about that, but I think there's a great hunger in this country. This has been my own feeling about talk radio. There's a great hunger in this country for something that will engage us, something that's smart, that's funny. I think so much of broadcast is so dumb, so dumbed down, not engaging. And I think a lot of us out there are hungry for something that engages, where really can jaw around ideas, think about ideas, have a real conversation with people who also want to talk about ideas. 303-382-1150. So any observations you want to make about the state of radio and the Walter Kern piece that I have just shared with you, I'd love to hear it. What you think about liberal radio, conservative radio. Since KNRC is on the air, have you found, if you were a listener to any of the Clear Channel stations in the market, KOA, KHOW, the Walmart across the way, have your listening habits changed? Did you not listen to them, but were brought back to talk radio by KNRC? Curious to know. 303-382-1150. As many of you know, I collect obituaries. And here's one that I thought was really extraordinary, and I cut it out. A woman that I'd never heard of named Molly Kelly, 87 years old, she died. Well, that by itself is not very extraordinary. But her story is, Molly Kelly, who was 13 years old when she and her little sister and a cousin were taken from her mother and sent to a government institution to be trained as a domestic servant. Now, she's an Australian Aborigine. So at the age of 13, she and her sister and a cousin are taken from the mom and sent to some school more than 1,000 miles away to be trained as a domestic servant. And this is the history of Australia with its Aborigines in those years. They would pull the children away from the family, and sometimes children were never reunited with their families. Thousands of such forced separations created what are now known as Australia's Stolen Generations. The policy aimed at assimilating Aborigines into mainstream society began in 1905 and continued until 1971. The three girls immediately, as soon as they got to this institution that was going to train them to be domestic servants, they immediately tried to flee. And Molly Kelly's hometown was a little town called Jigalong. It was on a rabbit-proof fence intended to stop the spread of imported rabbits. And they felt that if they just kept following the rabbit-proof fence, they could follow it all the way to their home. They crossed a flooded river. They crossed sand dunes, a desert, a salt lake. They slept in hollowed-out rabbit burrows. They ate sweet potatoes and wild bananas. And it was 1,000 miles. She was 13 years old. It was 1,000 miles, and 9 weeks after they began, they made it home. 1,000 miles, you're a 13-year-old, and you're following the rabbit-proof fence to your home. She was a person who was utterly willful and who decided she would not be dictated, took on the whole state apparatus, and managed to win, said the screenwriter, who actually, I guess they made a story, a film about her story called The Rabbit-Proof Fence. She was 87 years old. And she led a remarkable life, didn't she? 303-382-1150. Maybe it's all stamped in us really early on. So at 13 years old, she knew she was going home, and she got there. 1,000 miles later, hardly any food, she managed it. Preston in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston. I have to ask you a question. I got a call from somebody in New York who said that I was mentioned in the Sun magazine in a letter to the editor, and my sneaking suspicion is that you wrote the letter. Is that true, Preston?
Yeah, I did do that.
Did you? Is that the January issue? Because it's not on the stands here in Denver yet.
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet either, actually. But
Did you write a letter to the editor of this, to Sun Magazine?
I wrote a few letters to them, but I'm glad to hear they decided to publish one.
Well, apparently I'm named in one, and it's not in the December issue that I could see, so it must be in January's. And thank you very much.
Sure thing. It's my pleasure, really, to let people know about what you're up to. I think a lot of people have kind of left the medium, are there over at NPR, and just kind of get in the habit of staying over there. And I think NPR, it does some very good things, but, you know, it's largely not interactive. And I think a lot of it, like during the war, I mean, that was just National Pentagon Radio, basically, and very disappointing. So, and anyway, I think AM has a lot of potential, and I think what KNRC is doing is fantastic. And actually, I think Clear Channel has its moments as well. I think I found a few stations and a few hosts who are very interesting and fair. And but I agree that I think what Rush Limbaugh is doing has been kind of a dumbing down of sorts. And people will say, you know, that whole issue, and we see it in the TV, too, with all of the bachelorette-type things. And, you know, it kind of gets us in the habit of saying, well, that's what people want. And we're saying people are dumb. I mean, we're attacking our own species.
Well, there's a negative feedback loop that happens.
Yep.
They start always polling, and whatever, then they get, if Bachelorette gets high numbers, then they give you more bachelorettes or spin-offs or rip-offs of that kind of programming, and then it becomes an ever lower, you know, it's a descent to downward descent, really.
Yeah, but, you know, 60 Minutes has always
got high numbers. A race to the bottom.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't get into the habit of thinking, well, 60 Minutes has been this, you know, decades long.
60 Minutes is dissed by a lot of the major media because they attract an older audience, which is not as interesting to advertisers, apparently, as a younger audience. Mm-hmm. Now, the older audiences have a lot more money to spend. So nobody knows exactly why this has been allowed, this myth has been allowed to flourish for decades. But it has. And 60 Minutes is run by a whole group of geezers. I mean, I think Ed Bradley has got to be about the junior member, maybe Leslie Stahl or Bob Simon. But this is geezer land, and they are great. These crusty old geezers. I'm going to tell you a story about geezers.
Okay.
I was playing tennis with a geezer one time. He couldn't walk. He could hardly move. But let me tell you, that crusty old geezer could stand in one place and place those shots. And he was running my behind all over the tennis court. Those geezers know what they're doing.
That's great.
And it's a great pleasure to watch them.
Great, great. And the younger people, I mean, I think, you know, the medium of radio could bring a lot of them back. I mean, a lot of them are creating their own media through everything from the Independent Media Center movement to a lot of the filmmaking that's going on. I saw Rabbit Proof Fence, and I don't know if that was a younger person or not, but there's a lot of fantastic independent filmmaking going on, and, you know, people who aren't finding what they want in some of the corporate media, and so they're making their own, and it's great stuff, and they've got money to spend. And actually, I saw a film last night that was excellent called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised,
mm-hmm.
about Hugo Chavez in Venezuela.
Okay.
And
all right, we're going to leave. We're okay. going to leave it there, Preston. Thank you so much for all the letters to the editor on my behalf. I really appreciate that. All of us do here. Thanks, Preston. 303-321-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra for a fairy tale program featuring Ravel's Mother Goose and excerpts from Prokofiev's Cinderella on January 16th, 17th, and 18th at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobb. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1227 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Kay calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Kay. Welcome.
I just want to compliment you. I don't get to listen to you often, but I think you do a wonderful job, and I agree completely on Clear Channel. I think it's become a mammoth gorilla that just, like a tall tree in the forest, kind of stunts the other trees.
That's a very good way of putting it. Thank you so much, Kay. Thank you for calling.
And I just think that, like Rush Limbaugh, for example, I can't listen to him because he repeats the same thing over and over again, and to tell you the truth, it gets boring. And they have a lot of boring radio hosts on Clear Channel.
I don't disagree with you. They have some standouts. They have a couple of standouts, and the rest I think are fade into the wallpaper. Kate, thanks so much for calling and for listening. 303-321-1150. Rick calling from Elbert County. Hi, Rick. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
Good. I agree with you for once.
Oh no, I can't believe that.
Me either.
There must be something wrong with one or both of us.
I fell over too when I heard that first thing on the. That you read from the New York Times or whatever. I was like, well, here we go again. And holy cow, actually, kind of gave me a warm fuzzy or whatever you want to say.
Well, here's what I want to say. You and I might not agree on a lot of political stuff, Rick, but you're going to come on and you're going to be able to express yourself here.
Well, that's like I told your screener guy. I said, that's why I listen to you. I listen to KOA most of the time, the Walmart across the way most of the time, and I agree with most of what they say. So I turn on to you at noon because I disagree with most of what you say, and it makes me think.
Well, I'm delighted that you listen. Did you used to be a Rush listener?
Long time ago when he first got started, and then he started me, I told you this, and I told you that, and he's his ego's gone way out of control, and that's why I don't listen to him anymore. But I do listen to Rosen, and I listen to the conservative thing, but like I said, the reason I talk or listen to you is because I disagree and it makes me think. And my wife makes fun of me because I come home with a headache and that damn Enid, she just makes me so stinking mad. And, it does. It makes me think, and I like that.
Well, Rick, I'm delighted that you're listening, and feel free to call anytime. I'm delighted that we actually agree on something.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Thanks for the call. 303-321-1150. Jack, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid.
Yes, Jack.
Jack here. How you doing?
Doing well.
I just wanted to make a comment. The only reason I listen to AM is because the FM radio doesn't work in my car.
Yeah.
But I heard that letter that guy wrote in.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I knew the details about it, but there was a small town some years ago where there was a big train wreck.
It's Minot, North Dakota. The one that he mentioned where Clear Channel owned all the stations in town. Some of them were robotically operated, and so that when there was this tragedy in town, and I don't know if the train was carrying chemicals, but to try to warn the townspeople was impossible.
Yes.
And as a result, I think there was at least one death.
Exactly. You already talked about that?
I've talked about it repeatedly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I didn't talk about it particularly today, but I have talked about it in the past.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Yeah, it is bad news.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Jack. 303-382-1150. Joe calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to thank you for the Queen Nord tickets. I was one of the winners a couple days ago.
Oh, you're welcome.
One comment I wanted to make, and I don't know if this is true or not. I was talking to my son in San Francisco, and we're talking about the 30-second Bush ad.
Yeah.
About who won it.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that CBS is not going to allow MoveOn.org to broadcast that winning 30-second spot.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right, and I am furious about that. MoveOn has knocked it out of the Super Bowl, and I can share some of the info with you.
Well, I think it was something that CBS said they didn't want to do any political ads.
Did I say MoveOn has knocked it out of the Super Bowl? CBS has knocked the ad
CBS.
Out of
it. Yes. CBS knocked it out of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I really think this is wrong.
I do, too. I mean,
if you've got the money... I would like somebody, we haven't had a chance to do any research because this just came across, but I wonder if CBS has allowed or if Super Bowl advertising has included in the past any kinds of political ads. Now, do you remember?
I wonder if the Republicans and George Bush wanted to run an ad if they wouldn't let them do it.
Well, that's a question. And also, I think there was an ad a long, long time ago, and I forget whether it was a Lyndon Johnson ad or a Barry Goldwater ad about Lyndon Johnson, and it was a daisy, a little kid doing a daisy, and then it was a nuclear 1964, Sean tells me. 1964, was it in the Super Bowl? I know that it was a very powerful ad. It was pre-Super Bowl, I'm told. Okay, it was a powerful ad, and it was only designed to run once, and that's all it ran.
I just don't think it's right. I mean, if they've got the money to pay for the ad, they ought to be allowed to run it.
That's what I say. How can we, if this were the right wing...
It's almost like violation of free speech.
If you were part of the fundamentalist right-wing conservative movement, you would get all of your zillions of friends together, and you'd bombard CBS with emails, phone calls, letters... Threaten to boycott advertisers just like they did to pull the Reagan spot and a bunch of other stuff. But liberals are busy sleeping late and getting lattes at noon.
Right. Maybe we ought to start bombarding CBS.
I think you should do it, Joe. Just get on the Internet. And anybody who thinks this is a bad decision, get on the Internet and tell them you're not going to watch CBS anymore. Threaten them with something. You're not going to watch anymore. You're going to not go do business with the advertisers. Whatever it is that you think will get them to move off the dime, register your displeasure.
You don't think the right wing wouldn't be doing that?
That is how they got the Reagan miniseries, that Reagan thing pulled, because they threatened to boycott the advertisers. And let me tell you, there's nothing that makes networks more nervous than that, or threaten not to listen, or threaten not to watch. So give it a try, Joe. All right, here's what he's talking about. Remember, there's been a MoveOn.org competition for the best 30-second spot that characterizes Bush in 30 seconds. And two people from Denver won it. One was Charlie Fisher on who's going to pay for the deficit. And it's all these little kids dressed as adults. One's a garbage man or person, and one's a supermarket checker. It's very well done. And then one is from Jared Ewey, one of KNRC's friends. And he did a terrific one as well. And so here is the story. Every so often, clients call Richard Larmer, CEO of the entertainment and public interest PR firm RLM, with what they think is a brilliant novel idea. Hey, I've got, you know, people call with all these ideas. And so he said that we often have to turn these things down, but censorship, he has learned, can be its own kind of publicity. If so, MoveOn.org might reap its dubious benefits. On Thursday, CBS rejected, that was yesterday, the winner of MoveOn's Bush in 30 Second ad contest. The online group was trying to buy airtime to run the commercial, which criticizes the Bush administration's run-up of federal debt during the Super Bowl, a February 1 event expected to draw 90 million viewers. The ad will run around 30 times on CNN from January 17 to the 21st. But when you put it in Super Bowl time, you first of all, you're paying a premium. They're selling the amount of money they're selling that ad time for is astronomical, just because the audience is so astronomical. CBS rejected it. Clearly, MoveOn has upset many on the right, but CBS said it wasn't controversy that made it turn down MoveOn's commercial, and it's $1.6 million. They're willing to hand CBS $1.6 million. Here, take it. Run our commercial, and said the network said that the spot violates its policy against running any political issue ads at all. Ads which do not promote the selling of things basically are not welcome, said MoveOn's campaign director. The scary thing about it is that advertising at this point is one of the only ways you can even get access to the media. To have it restricted on the basis of viewpoints is dangerous. Dangerous perhaps, but common. CBS's policy is shared by ABC and NBC and some cable channels, including MTV. Thus, every few years, an advocacy group will win a bit of notoriety when the networks refuse to sell commercial airtime. In 1997, an anti-consumerist activist was rejected when he tried to buy a Thanksgiving Day commercial promoting Buy Nothing Day, his anti-shopping initiative. Last week, MTV refused to run an anti-war ad directed by Oscar-winning documentarian Barbara Kopple. This year, CBS also turned down a Super Bowl spot that People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals tried to buy for $2 million. The rejected ad argues that eating meat causes impotence, by clogging your arteries. According to PETA, it features a pair of scantily clad women who try to seduce the pizza man, but discover that he can't deliver the sausage. Things pick up when they test the prowess of a vegetarian delivery boy. Oh, I wish I'd seen that ad. He can't deliver the sausage. What do you think about this? MoveOn.org's ad, the contest that they were sponsoring, to Denver People won, and the main winner was, I guess, Charlie Fisher. CBS has rejected it for the Super Bowl, saying that they're going to advertise things, but not points of view. Is that fair? 303-382-1150. Aren't these the public airwaves? They, I guess they are if you pay for them, or if CBS decides whether you're going to get into the game or not. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 1238, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Bank One. The cities of Denver and Aurora have announced a joint development project. The cities have announced an 1,800-acre mixed-use development that will include a golf course, hotel, and a high-end business park. Groundbreaking on the project will be in about a year. The state health department has redirected about $400,000 so that it can be used for childhood immunizations. Originally, the money had been earmarked for other public health purposes, but Doug Benevento, the executive director of the state health department, says it's more important to be certain that children have all the immunizations they need. A 17-year-old Chatfield High School student who pleaded guilty to several charges, including vehicular homicide, will be sentenced today. A plea bargain calls for a maximum term of 6 years in youth corrections for Mallory Leak. She was behind the wheel when three of her friends died in a car wreck. The car was traveling at more than 70 miles an hour when it crashed. In sports, the Denver Nuggets host the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Nuggets beat Dallas when the two teams last played in November. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money, now with free customized email alerts that can save you money. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1239.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning show looks at immigration and foreign visitors. President Bush unveiled his plan to allow illegal immigrants to work legally in the United States. Bush's plan allows companies to fill low-paying and often dangerous jobs with immigrant workers if the jobs cannot be filled by willing Americans. When the three-year work exemption expires, immigrants are expected to return to their home country. Proponents say the plan rewards hard work and protects immigrants. Opponents say it panders to big corporations and is a ploy to attract Hispanic voters in the upcoming election. Immigrants fear that it will result in deportation after they have worked hard to build a life in America. Is the plan a good idea or a shrewd political ploy? What do you think? Tune in Friday night at 8:30 as a panel of Coloradans debate this and more on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Also, the U.S. now digitally fingerprints foreign visitors. Are we overreacting? Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind Fridays only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to check with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Latest traffic problem is an accident. Two cars involved northbound on the valley at 20th Street. Denver police on the scene. Doesn't look like it's causing much of a problem up and down the Central Valley. That is not true of the South Valley. Northbound I-25 approaching Evans. Slow to get back to normal after an earlier injury accident. The accident is now on the ramp from the northbound valley to Colorado Boulevard, but they've asked for an ambulance to come back and check one of the people who was involved in that accident. Everything else around town, though, looking very, very good. One reminder about the stock show traffic around the Coliseum for the next several days. Now through January 17th, get up to a $50 cash card with the purchase of four selected Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and for the retailer nearest you. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to see a cooler day today, high of 46. That's cooler compared to yesterday's 54 degrees, times of sun and clouds. Later on tonight, partly cloudy, down to 24. And tomorrow, we're going to see lots of sun, just a few clouds, 45. The same for Sunday, 44. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
It's cloudy, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter, told in the Key of Blues. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. Cooking at the Cookery played to record-breaking crowds throughout the country, including Phoenix, New York, and Chicago. Critics agree the show is red-hot, astonishing, electrifying, delicious entertainment. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets just $40, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. Special $30 price on Wednesdays. On sale at Ticket West Outlets, King Supers, by calling 866-464-2626 or at www.denvercivic.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's gains are keeping mild this hour. The Dow is up 19 points, S&P 500 gaining 5, but the NASDAQ is up 26. The dollar gaining strength in currency trading following a Treasury Department report showing a surprise rise in foreign purchases of U.S. assets. The greenback rising 1.5% versus the euro, gaining a nickel on the single currency this week. Used car king CarMax is rising $3.50 or 12%. An analyst with William Blair says vehicle registration data leads her to believe the chain will report better sales results from December than it's forecasting. It's calling for a 5 to 7% raise. The analyst says it looks more like it's going to be 9%. For the first time since mid-March 2003, before the Iraq War, crude oil futures close above $35 a barrel. Today's gain more than $1.50 as traders placed bets on high oil demand amid low temperatures. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNIC.
1244 on the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about radio, real radio, as compared to the consolidated fakerama that calls itself radio in a lot of places these days. And also, we're talking about the MoveOn.org ad. The winner of their Bush in 30 Seconds award, the ad that won the contest called Child's Play, a low-key attack on Bush's fiscal irresponsibility that's unlikely to make... Well, I don't know why they write that it's unlikely to make anyone very angry. I think when you see that ad, it's an extremely powerful ad, and you will be angry. But in any event, CBS says it can't air during the Super Bowl because they're only going to be selling things, not points of view. Is that an unfair restriction? Now, my producer, Joe Anderson, makes this point, and he says, hey, what if it was a pro-abortion group during the Super Bowl? Then what? How would you feel about seeing that ad? Well, I'd hate it. But then I suppose it would open the door to an anti-abortion group or a pro-choice group developing its own ad and placing it so you could have the battle of viewpoints. 303-382-1150. Remember, the antidote to unpleasant thoughts and conversation is more conversation, not less conversation. Just remember that. Alan, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, first thing I want to say that I love the work you guys do at the station. I'm very independent politically myself, and I appreciate hearing all the different points of view you guys express through the different hosts.
Thank you.
Oh, and the second thing I want to say is that aren't they licensed by the FCC to use the public airwaves? So shouldn't, by some sort of legal lingo or whatever the appropriate terms would be, have to suffer under the same restriction, well, not suffer is a bad word, but have to abide by the same restriction of government can't restrict political speech? And should, I mean, I just don't see how they can get away with saying it. But
there was a phrase from the 30s from the FCC that the airwaves, the FCC was sort of the guardian of the public, and that the broadcasters were operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity, I think, is the line. But the public interest, convenience, it's a public trust. And these broadcasters have, it's a license to put zillions of dollars into their pockets, and they become the gatekeepers. That's why talk radio is so important. And right now, I think the role of talk radio has been vastly underestimated in the political process. I think that you can look to talk radio as being one reason why there's been so much conservatism in this country, because it's been a largely conservative avenue, and it's had a huge impact. And because radio is so much under the radar, more under the radar than television, I think a lot of people haven't realized the power of talk radio.
I very much agree, which is why I'm glad that the KNRC, as a dual-sided viewpoint station it is around. And further, I don't think I've ever heard of a television station turning down ad money for any sort of negative political campaign.
Oh, no, they will. They'll turn it down if it violates their standards and practices, if there's too much nudity, if it's a product that they don't allow to be advertised, or that is a bit of a skittish kind of a product.
Yeah, but there's the Move On ad, I admit I haven't seen it or anything, but it doesn't violate any sort of decency standards like that.
No, it doesn't violate any decency, and you can access it on the net. I don't know how you do it. MoveOn.org, I guess.
Hearing about this, I did.
I think everybody who has a beef with CBS on this ought to let CBS know about it. Email them in New York and let them know, because I'm telling you, it was because the right wing got together and they had zillions of emails. They pulled the Reagan, film that was going to air and put it on Showtime, I think.
Yeah, I think it did show there. But yeah, like you're saying, you should have the conversation. If you got the abortion ad up there, it opens the door for someone who's with the other side of viewpoint. And the way the democracy is supposed to work is that you argue the ideas out and you decide on the merits of the argument and the facts of the situation.
I'm with you, Alan, and I thank you for the call. Those of you who disagree with CBS's decision, let them know. You too have free speech rights. Don't take them for granted. Let them know. Just get out there. Email them. It's very easy to do. Go to cbs.com. There's got to be a way on the website of doing it. And let me tell you that the right wing is right in there letting people know exactly how they feel, threatening to stage boycotts of advertisers, threatening to boycott the network and not listen and not watch it, and nothing gets the network's attention like those kinds of emails. And I used to be an executive at a television station, NBC's largest affiliate in San Francisco, in a previous very previous incarnation. And I can tell you that just a few letters could alter what the management of the station was going to do. So if they get a torrent of communication, they are not known to be operating spines in good operating condition. So I think let them know exactly how you feel about this, and go access the commercial on MoveOn.org on the website. 303-382-1150, but here it is, the ad that won the contest was a low-key attack on Bush's fiscal irresponsibility. I thought that ad was done beautifully. Ads which do not promote the selling of things basically are not welcome at CBS during the Super Bowl. There is no legal recourse for groups that are denied the chance to buy themselves a soapbox. Given the public nature of the airwaves, one might think that at least some First Amendment protections would obtain. In fact, though, there's no right to free speech on network TV, even for those who can pay for it. I can tell you exactly what the rules are, says Alex Jones, who's the director of the Jones Shorenstein Center on the Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard. The rules are exactly what the owner of the news medium wants them to be, and they're not rules. They're simply choices. For many news organizations, the rules are governed by such things as taste and accuracy. In the case of some, the question of taste slips over into finding the message disagreeable or believing that the audience would find that message disagreeable. The long and short of it is that they don't have to run any ad that they don't want to run. Now, these are our airwaves, right? Got that? So if maybe they can run whatever they want, but you can let them know whatever you want them to know. You can let them know what you think. You ought to email them. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Some people prefer the right wing. Some prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
You know how I've said you're my shining star?
Yes.
Well, happy Valentine's Day. Open it.
Oh, wow. You named a star after me?
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Valentine, you're my star.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Are drugs affecting you, your family, or a friend? Narconon provides answers to drug addiction. They offer free assessment and referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers nationwide. For 30 years, Narconon has successfully used a drug-free approach to long-term recovery that works. They understand the cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction. To find out more about Narconon, log on to www.stopaddiction.com or call 1-800-468-6933.
Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money, now with free customized email alerts that can save you money.
Dominic and Bill.
No, you can buy an apartment for $300,000.
Yeah. So you've got this big, nice
house. But the rats come with it.
They do.
If you're lucky, you pay extra for the gay rats.
Yes, exactly.
Very nice.
Great.
Plus, they don't reproduce.
Yes.
And they start giving you advice on dressing these rats. But
and this guy
they dress my pussy cat. It's called Queer Rat with a Straight Pussy Cat.
Dominic and Bill, weeknights from 6 to 9 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:53 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And we're talking about CBS refusing to air the MoveOn.org, the winner of the MoveOn.org contest, Bush, in 30 seconds. What do you think about that? Joan, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. It's great to hear you.
Thank you.
I work all afternoon, and I don't get to listen to you unless I have a day off, like today. So this is a treat.
Oh, good. Thank you.
But, yeah, I think this is certainly puts an end to any conversation about how the media is biased towards liberals. I mean, that's the end of the conversation. I don't ever have to hear that again, and there's no justification for it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but people have that a myth in their heads, and they don't care about the reality. That has no bearing with them. Like, I had people calling me, telling me, how can I say there have been no weapons of mass destruction found in Iraq? And I said, well, read the Washington Post, read all the mainstream newspapers, you know. Well, those are liberal papers. You can't believe a thing they say. How do you argue that?
Yeah, and I think that that's indicative of the whole Bush experience is, you know, the emperor has no clothes. And no, yes, he does. Everything's perfect and wonderful. And it is very bizarre. I mean, I find myself kind of knocking myself upside the head all the time thinking, what are these people? How can they be perceiving things as they are? You know, and even all of a sudden, oh, well, this is, you know, people who usually have big issues with immigration policy. Oh, well, this is wonderful now that Bush is, you know, doing this. And, oh, all of a sudden they just think it's so fun to go to Mars. And I don't know. I mean, I do wonder what could he do that they would finally cop to what the problems are that he's creating.
Well, that's a good question, and let's see how people answer it. Joan, I thank you for the call. Thanks, too, for listening on your day off. 303-382-1150. Dave calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, hi, Enid.
Hi, Dave. My old stomping ground, Sacramento.
Yeah, I know. I've been listening here for, I don't know, a month or so. I found you on the Internet just searching for some liberal talk radio. We have Clear Channel out here. And it's kind of tough to get both opinions. But, you know, I was wondering on this TV spot for the Super Bowl that you were talking about with the Move On commercial, what do you think about the networks being afraid of White House access if they were to put commercials on that were, saying stuff about George Bush?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I've long thought that part of the reason that the reporters have been functioning more like stenographers is if they're covering the White House and they start asking very tough questions, they're going to be shut out of things and they're not going to be able to do their jobs, and it's considered a very prestigious beat for a reporter, and that reporter will be replaced. So those reporters have to walk a line. I don't know. Maybe because the FCC regulates entities like CBS, they really don't want to risk the wrath, and they want to keep it a sports thing, and they don't want to inject politics into it. Who knows? There are probably a million reasons, but I wouldn't doubt that that doesn't somehow fit into the equation.
Well, it seems like the White House is very, likes to throw revenge at people who disagree with them, especially at the media level.
You know what I think about this crew in the White House, though? Here's what I think. They project the appearance of being powerful. I happen to think that George W. Dickey Bush is a weak man, and he's a cipher, and the chief puppeteer here is Dick Cheney. But they have managed to bamboozle a lot of people. But I believe, and a lot of people are frightened of them. Even Paul O'Neill said they're nasty and they have a long memory. But he said, what the hell, I'm an old man and I'm rich. And here they're even launching an inquiry into those allegedly classified documents that they're saying that he took when he wasn't supposed to. And he's saying, nope, they gave them all to me, so I didn't do anything wrong. The inquiry is proceeding. I don't know if he has to hire counsel or not, but if he does, it's going to cost him some money. So this is a White House that looks like it's very tough. But I believe that once you start exploiting the cracks in that White House, it's just going to come down like it's all smoke and mirrors. It's going to be like the Wizard of Oz. And the person who looked so powerful behind the scenes is just going to be exposed as some weasened little nothing. That's what I think.
I've been reading a book by David Brock called Blinded by the Right.
Yeah, I've had him on.
Oh, have you?
Uh-huh.
And it's very interesting the way he talks about the conservative movement since Goldwater got killed by Johnson in the 1964 election. And these guys have come out and said, you know, they spent 30 or 40 years getting to the point where they're at right now with their radio networks and their think tanks and things like that. And you had mentioned Al Franken getting a... I've been reading about that, and they got the Chicago station. I think they're trying to get a few more. but the conservatives have been at this for a long, long time, and they've got it down real well.
Well, that's right. If CBS does something that the conservatives don't like, zillions of people are going to email and bombard CBS with all kinds of messages, and the liberals are not doing that. So, Dave, do it. Organize your friends. Let them know, and CBS know how you feel about their decision not to accept the MoveOn.org ad.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for the call. I really appreciate it. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid Live, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live coming up. We have lots to talk about. New changes in the gun law. Some surprising information from and about Paul O'Neill, the Treasury Secretary. Then we have the situation of Liesl Ullmann, who is in jail for the oddest of reasons, and we have to talk about that. And there's an argument in front of the Colorado Supreme Court that will determine what her outcome is. I'm Enid Goldstein. Two more hours of Enid Live right here on...
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Haviland High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. Denver and Aurora are taking steps to put their adversarial relationship in the past. Today, the mayors from both cities announced the planned construction of an 1,800-acre development at Pena Boulevard and E-470. Aurora Mayor Ed Tower said the partnership of entities that for years were enemies wasn't formulated by waving a wand.
Cooperation is big. It's a big project. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, how are you going to do cooperation? It's so big. I said, you know, it's the same way you eat an elephant. One bite at a time.
Construction on the development, known as High Point at DIA, is set to begin in early 2005. The project will include a golf course, hotel, and high-end business park. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper told reporters he hopes this is the first of many team efforts involving local municipalities. Colorado lawmakers are proposing several measures to help combat rapidly rising energy bills in the state. Just like the rest of us, legislators need to pay their bills at home, and they aren't happy with their energy bills. Lawmakers have also been getting twice the number of complaints about the nearly doubling energy bills. There could be as many as 12 new measures designed to deal with the price increases. For its part, XL Energy says they get the blame for every rate increase, but they say they don't control market prices of natural gas. Three people have been arrested as a result of an investigation into a car sales ring based in Aurora. Authorities say the three were selling cars that had been wrecked, but changing the paperwork so that no previous damage was shown. Investigators say the ring was based at Velvet Auto Touch Sales near I-70 and I-225. A Lakewood-based steel company will soon feel the wrath of the state attorney general. Ken Salazar today announced that his office is filing suit against General Steel. Deputy DA Ken Lane explains why the DA's office is going after General Steel.
General Steel and several of its associate employees engaged in a practice of deceptive advertising and marketing tactics in the sale of hundreds of buildings to numerous ranchers, farmers, churches, and other consumers around the country.
The suit seeks refunds to General's victims, civil penalties of up to $2,000 per violation, plus attorney fees and costs. It also calls for an injunction preventing General from engaging in any future false and deceptive advertising practices. Michael Jackson's defense team told reporters today they regret that the pop icon was 20 minutes late for his arraignment. The newest team member, New Yorker Ben Bramford, says the team apologized to the court after Jackson got a scolding from the judge for his tardiness.
It takes about 20 minutes to make it 100 yards when you're in Mr. Jackson's company because of the large volume of people. We regret that he was late this morning. We will see to it that that does never happen again, and we apologize to the court.
Lead attorney Mark Garagos took note of the throngs of people outside the Santa Barbara County Courthouse and said he estimated the proceeding drew 5,000 to 10,000 supporters. Jackson pleaded not guilty at today's arraignment to charges that he molested a young boy last year at his Neverland Ranch. During the arraignment, Superior Court Judge Rodney Melville imposed a partial gag order in Jackson's upcoming trial and ordered the contents of the search warrant prepared for a raid on the pop star's Neverland Ranch to remain sealed. He set February 13th as the date for the pop star's pretrial hearing. The Iowa caucus race is coming down to the wire for 8 Democratic presidential hopefuls. The latest poll has Senator John Kerry with a slight lead over former Vermont Governor Howard Dean and Congressman Richard Gephardt. Yesterday, former Senator Carol Moseley Braun withdrew from the race and endorsed Howard Dean. Cold weather continues to plague the Northeast. Several states cancel school today because of fears that children could get frostbite waiting for the bus. Weather forecasters say temperatures were between 0 and 10 below across much of the region last night. Temperatures will slowly rise over the weekend with a high of 30 expected by Sunday. 1 year ago today, the space shuttle Columbia launched on its final mission. 16 days later, the shuttle exploded upon re-entering the atmosphere, killing all 7 crew members on board. NASA has spent this week celebrating the president's plans for future space exploration. On Wall Street, at last check, stocks were higher. The Dow up about 10.5 points. The NASDAQ up about 23.5. The S&P 500 up just a little over 7 points. In sports, the Dallas Mavericks come to town tonight to take on the Denver Nuggets. In November, when the Nuggets and Mavericks last played, the Nuggets came away with a win. No game for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. They'll be back on the ice at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the San Jose Sharks. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money, now with free customized email alerts that can save you money. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
The following conversation is real. It took place on October 15th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Gaither. How may I help you?
Hi, yes. We have locked ourselves out of our black Denali, and the engine is running.
Okay, I'm sorry you locked out. This evening, I'd be happy to help you with that, sir. Did you have an OnStar account number with you by chance?
760.
An OnStar advisor can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
Let me ask you to hold for just a moment while I send the signal through, and I'll be right back on the line as soon as I get a return on the signal.
Thank you.
Many GMC trucks and SUVs are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your GMC dealer or GMC.com.
Thank you for your patience. Would you mind trying your driver's side door? You should be able to get in there.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Good job, OnStar.
Well, thank you. I'm glad we could help you this evening. Is there anything else for you tonight?
Yeah, give me the winning lottery tickets.
If I had that, Mr. Scott would not be having this conversation.
You ask. I thought I'd try. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
OnStar, always there, always ready.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Steve Smith of the KNRC Traffic Center.
Big problems continue on the South Valley at this hour. We have a new accident northbound on the valley at Evans. 5 cars blocking the right lane. Traffic starting to jam back toward Hamden. Probably get a little bit worse before it gets any better. That's on the heels of an earlier accident at the same interchange. And the officers moved that one off to the ramp from northbound I-25 to Colorado Boulevard. So that's a good stretch to avoid. Northbound I-25 in the mousetrap, a disabled truck causing a little bit of a problem there. And watch for some police activity around U.S. Highway 285. Hampton Avenue and Lincoln Street in Englewood. Sounds like police are investigating a robbery there. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money, now with free customized email alerts that can save you money. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Mike Stiniford with the KNRC Forecast and the Weather Channel. A quiet weather pattern for the next several days for this afternoon. A lot of cloud cover, a few peaks of sunshine, and we'll get up to a high of 48. We're going to turn partly cloudy tonight, low down at 23, and look for a quiet weekend. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 46. Bright sunshine Sunday, high up to 45. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stiniford on AM 1150, KNRC.
It's cloudy, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135, or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And I just want to remind you, I'm going to be appearing. It's a return guest appearance on national television this Saturday night, tomorrow night, on the Fox News Channel from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. somewhere. I think I'm going to be on twice within that hour time period. The show is called Heartland. It is hosted by former Ohio Congressman John Kasich, and I'm up against Mike Gallagher, who is a conservative pit bull of a talk host, and we're going to be talking politics and a lot of other things. I think we're also going to be talking about Paul O'Neill. And they want to know who you think is going to win the Iowa caucus. I mean, it's looking not so great for Dean at the moment. He was expected to be the winner. But then everybody has all said that the Zogby polls are impossible, that this is something almost impossible to poll. But it's got Kerry coming up big time and a virtual statistical dead heat between Kerry, Gephardt, Dean, and now John Edwards coming up. And they all play different roles if you think about it. I've long said that Howard Dean is an incarnation of Harry Truman, blunt, candid, feisty, plain-spoken. John Kerry is kind of an incarnation of the Kennedys with that hairstyle, with a little bit of the Adams family thrown in and a lot of experience and a lot of serious military experience behind him. John Edwards is called because he's so cute and doesn't look his age. He's been called behind his back the Breck girl. Richard Gephardt, I don't have somebody for him. He's kind of a real all-American loafer-wearing guy. His daughter's a lesbian, as is Dick Cheney's. I don't immediately think of who Richard Gephardt reminds me of. George W. Bush, as I've said before, bring him on, is trying to be Gary Cooper in High Noon. So right now the contest is between Gary and Harry, 303-382-1150. But if Dean does not win in Iowa, what is the correlation there? In other words, Gephardt won the caucus at some point, and it didn't help him in terms of his later aspirations, his later presidential aspirations. So what does it mean for somebody who wins the Iowa caucus? Well, what I think it means is it means a lot of publicity for him, and it gives him a leg up, and it gives him a lot of that publicity momentum. I think that's one of the things that happens. One of the things we've talked about this week that we've got to discuss here is this business about the government checking into the most private parts of our lives. I talked to you about Joyce Meskis testifying before the Colorado House Judicial Committee. They want to impose legislation that if you are in a bookstore or in a library, if there's anything that's sexually inappropriate for a minor, if it's within eyeball distance, you, the bookstore owner or the library director or somebody presumably, could be hauled off to the pokey for as long as six months and also have to pay a fine. We also know that the airlines are trying to, in concert with the government is trying to get the airlines to do all this data mining of passengers so that they can devise a system as to who can, you know, go right through in terms of security and who needs further scrutiny. It gets even worse, though. Now we're looking at drug testing of hair and saliva by the feds. Why do they want to do this? Ask yourself this question. Unless somebody is piloting an airplane, or unless somebody is doing something that has your direct health involved, why do we have to drug test them? If they're a doctor, I guess I could understand it. If they're an airline pilot or a railroad captain or some such thing, I could understand it. Railroad engineer, I could understand it. But what about, why in general does the government have to do drug testing, and why are they going to be testing your hair and your saliva and your sweat? The federal government is planning to overhaul its employee drug testing program to include scrutiny of workers' hair, saliva, and sweat, a shift that could spur more private businesses to revise screening for millions of their own workers. The planned changes, long awaited by the testing industry, reflect government efforts to be more precise in its drug screening and to outmaneuver a small but growing subset of workers who try to cheat on urine-based tests. So they have a lot of reasons why they're going to go looking at your hair, your saliva, and your sweat. They want to be sure that you're drug-free. But why does it matter if you're drug-free? Unless you're an airline captain, unless you're, you know, piloting a railroad car or something that has life and death attached to it, or you're a doctor or somebody like that. But if you're an administrative worker, it just strikes me as another reason for them to impose on the most private aspects of your life. And how are they going to use this information? Supposing in the hair and the saliva and the sweat testing, some other diseases are revealed, then what happens? Then will you ever get insurance again? I mean, these are questions that nobody's asking. Everybody's just rolling over and saying, oh, yeah, well, okay. So the feds are busy. What the feds are busy doing is taking it out on us. They are taking 9/11 out on us. I don't see them doing anything tremendously worthwhile that protects us more from any kind of a terrorist attack. The terrorists who were here did not circumvent the system. They all went by the book. the 19 involved with 9/11? 303-382-1150. The Lethal Almond story is an amazing story. Her lawyers have gone to the Colorado Supreme Court to argue that she should not have been convicted of a first-degree murder of a Denver cop because she was in custody at the time of the slaying. Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar will argue that the state's felony murder law pertains to people such as Lethal Almond, who instigated a burglary at her ex-boyfriend's boarding house room. It was a 1997 burglary reported by the former boyfriend's neighbors. It resulted in a police chase that ended in southeast Denver when Almond's companion, a guy named Matthias, now I don't know, you all know how to pronounce this, Janning, ambushed Denver patrolman Bruce Vanderjagt of 47. Minutes later, Janning committed suicide using Vanderjagt's service revolver. The slaying made a widow of Vanderjagt's wife, who is a Denver teacher and left fatherless the two-year-old daughter, Haley. In July 1998, a Denver jury found Lethal Almond guilty of felony murder, second-degree burglary, menacing, and conspiracy to commit first-degree burglary. The Colorado Court of Appeals upheld that conviction in September of 2002, noting that Colorado's felony law specifically applies to people who engage in crimes that could result in violence and death. What happened here is that the shooting occurred 10 minutes. The driver of the car, Lethal's friend, shot this police officer. But the shooting occurred, this is what's extraordinary about this case, 10 minutes after Lethal Almond had already been arrested and placed in a patrol car. Nobody disputes that. She was already in police custody. She had nothing to do with that shooting. She was handcuffed. She was in the back seat of the patrol car, which police had driven away from the line of fire for her safety. The Court of Appeals opinion opposes a stunningly new broad interpretation of the Colorado felony murder rule because it minimizes the causal connection between the underlying felony and the death. It is very important from our point of view that the Supreme Court rules that the Court of Appeals is wrong in its interpretation. So in other words, because she was somehow involved in this thing, she knew the guy who did do the murder, even though when the guy who shot the police officer then took his own life and committed suicide, Lethal Almond was in police custody and was being driven away from the scene. She had nothing to do with the shooting. She's the one in prison for the rest of her life. This can't be right. But Colorado has a kind of law that says that if you were somehow involved, that's it. And people who were more involved got much lighter sentences than Lethal Almond. I don't believe that she deserves to be in prison for the rest of her life. I hope that this appeal is successful. 303-382-1150, and even the cop's widow questions whether she should be getting a life sentence. The cop's widow came to Denver to show support for lawyers prosecuting Lethal Almond, but even then she says she has mixed feelings about whether Almond should be locked up for life. I have a tough time with that. I truly don't know. She knows what the answer is. The woman, she hates that her husband was shot, murdered by this man who murdered her and then turned the gun on himself and committed suicide. But Lethal Almond had nothing to do with her husband's murder, and I think that's why her conscience is bothering her. 303-382-1150. Dick in Boulder, hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, Dick.
Hey, just a couple of questions. You know, I'm wondering if the major networks, including CBS, are going to run the traditional Department of Defense ads. The recruitment ads for the Army, you know, be all you can be, and the Navy.
Do they run those? Do they run those in Super Bowl?
Those are high points of the Super Bowl ad competition. Are those?
See, I'm not. I confess to you, I'm not a Super Bowl watcher.
Well, I'm a marketing person, so I watch those a lot because they're usually pretty high end ads, you know, and they're usually pretty good. But yeah, the DoD's all over the Super Bowl. So if CBS is going to run DoD ads, how can they possibly refuse to run the Move On?
This is why you have to email CBS.
Well, I think everybody should, and you're right, because I deal with execs all the time, including Clear Channel and major broadcast execs and stuff, and they get a little heat, they cave. They cave right away. They're gutless, you're right. So I think that everybody should make an effort to email or contact even the affiliate station in their local, you know, in Denver or wherever they happen to be.
I would say start at the network level. Go right to the network and let Les Moonves, who is the head of CBS, let him know.
Yeah.
And let them know how you feel about it. And start those emails coming to CBS.
Now, when is this progressive radio going to actually launch? When's it going to actually be on?
Well, I'm a little concerned about it because the Chicago radio station, that they've only have one so far, and in the trade press they're saying they're going to have more stations, one in San Francisco and one someplace else. But I'm a little concerned because the one that they're going to launch in Chicago is what you might call a teapot. I mean, it's got a signal of 1,000 watts. This is what was reported in the trade press during the day. And then they go up to 5,000 watts at night, but a 1,000 watt station at 980 or 920 on the dial, I don't know what kind of coverage that is. I don't think it's a big strong signal.
That's just the opposite of you guys, because I noticed at 4 o'clock, and this is one of the things that I really like about Doug's show, is that at 4 o'clock, when the sun drops, you completely go off the air here in Boulder County. And I don't know why that is, but I think
I can tell
thing about Doug's show.
Well, you tell him that directly, but I can tell you why that is. We have the kind of license that requires us to power down at sunset.
Right.
And in the winter, sunset comes as early as, I don't know, 4 or 4:30.
Sure.
In the afternoon. So when he starts his show at 3 o'clock, he's powered down for a lot of the area in Denver. So that's the kind of license we have now. As it gets to be, as the days get longer, and it gets, when summer, I think we don't power down till, 7 or 8 o'clock at night, maybe.
Yeah. And thirdly, your comment earlier about Bush being a lightweight and being basically just a yes man being led around by the nose. If you watched his address, announcing his new great initiative for space exploration and going to Mars and yada yada yada, he was so out of breath and so out of his depth. It was just obvious that he was really reaching.
People don't want to believe that this is a guy who's pretty much a disengaged, querulous, petulant, a lightweight, kind of a bully. O'Neill paints him as kind of a bully. I'll share some of this information with you. But what do you think about this drug testing? Hair, saliva, they want to go into your background if you take an airplane. The feds want to do that. And then the court, in another court case, this is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, said that the FBI is not legally entitled to remotely activate the system, the OnStar system, or similar dashboard computing systems, and secretly use it to snoop on passengers because doing so would render it inoperable during an emergency. Can you imagine they want to go into your OnStar, your dashboard computing systems?
I'll share with you, and this may sound a little conspiratorial, which you've talked to me enough to know I'm not, but this is all part of a bigger picture, and here's the way I read it based on information I have. If you look at what's happening in this country economically, and the deep divisions that exist here, and what's going on with immigration, and on and on and on. If you add it all up, you can see a time in the not-too-distant future where there will be grounds for pretty significant levels of political instability, levels maybe like we've never seen before. And the powers that be, including especially the intelligence and the enforcement arms, are going to want all of the data they can have on individuals. And if you look at the Patriot Act, if you look at the other kinds of intrusive ways that they're trying to gather individual information and data warehouse it, I think it's all going to that end.
Well, I hope you're not right, but I am on the eve of going to Italy, and I'll be here Monday to do the show, and then I leave for Venice on Monday night,
right,
and I'll be gone a week. I had to go and buy euros, and to buy, let's say, the dollar is worth, to buy 1 euro, costs almost $1.33.
Yeah.
Almost $1.35 to buy 1 euro. So that's how weak the dollar is. And the International Monetary Fund has said, because we're in such bad economic shape, this can have huge repercussions around the world. So it isn't only that here we are, the last remaining superpower on the verge, if things aren't changed quickly, of becoming eventually becoming a banana republic.
Becoming but insolvent. At some point, actually insolvent.
Actually insolvent. And here we are, such a rich nation, and these are such bad decisions. And here, for a group of people who call themselves so religious, and that they're having conversations with God left and right, coming through their molars, what they are acting like are a bunch of greedy, corrupt people who care only about themselves, and they don't care about the common good in this country. And to me, that is the worst corruption of religion. I don't think that has anything whatever to do with real religion or spirituality.
And they're preparing for what they see as a potentially apocalyptic future, which would be...
They're creating. If you you get what you prepare for.
That's right.
They're creating an apocalyptic future.
That's exactly. And it's consistent with their worldview, which is largely fundamentalist, apocalyptic driven, that kind of thing.
Well, I think they pander to that. I think in their own view, they're just going to try and make line their pockets and line their careers as well as they possibly can. Dick, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. It's very distressing to see this of our leaders. And here you've got a guy like Howard Dean. And I have not been immediately enamored of Howard Dean. But the more I see him and the more I read about him, the more I like what he stands for. And apparently he's got a great track record. Wall Street, the Wall Street Journal gave him a really good review about his policies, his fiscal policies when he was governor of Vermont. He was very fiscally smart. And I'll share some of the information that I have with you. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live.
Greg Dobbs, named best radio talk show host by Westword, AM 1150 KNRC.
Work for someone you love, you. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. It's the new year. How about a new you?
Aspen Grove, the fabulous open-air shopping center located at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton, is sponsoring the new year, new you makeover for one lucky man or woman or a couple. Winners will receive new hairstyles from Avalon Day Spa, makeup by the professionals at Origins, and a dinner for two on Valentine's Day for your reveal.
And that's not all. Each winner will receive a $1,000 shopping spree at Aspen Grove.
To enter, write 51 words or less on why you deserve this makeover. Include your photo. Drop this off at the Aspen Grove Management Office or the J. Crew Store.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. Call them at 303-794-0640. 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
No purchase necessary. Employees and family members of KNRC and Aspen Grove Management are ineligible. Qualifiers will be chosen at random. Entries must be received by February 6th at the Aspen Grove Management Office or Aspen Grove J. Crew Store. For complete rules, stop at the Aspen Grove Management Office.
AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farb during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show or anytime at knrcradio.com where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I got so many things cooking this weekend, and this is just in. Oh, my. Oh, this is a sad story. Remember Charles Pickering? Know who he is? He has not been able to get Senate approval because he's been considered, his policies have been considered heavily racist. Well, guess what? Bush did an end run around the people who would have to confirm him. He has installed Charles Pickering on a federal appeals court today, bypassing Democrats who had stalled his nomination for more than 2 years. Bush appointed Pickering by a recess appointment, which avoids the confirmation process. Such appointments are valid until the next Congress takes office, in this case, January 2005. This guy can have a horrible effect for about a year. Pickering, a federal trial judge who Bush nominated for a seat on the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, has been waiting for a confirmation vote in the Senate, which was never going to come. Democrats have accused him of supporting segregation as a young man, and pushing anti-abortion and anti-voting rights views as a state lawmaker. They also said they wouldn't be able to trust Pickering to keep his conservative opinions out of his work on the federal appeals court. President Bush did an end run, installed Charles Pickering on a federal appeals court, bypassing Democrats who had stalled his nomination for more than 2 years. This is a process called a recess appointment, which avoids the confirmation process. Appointments like this are valid until the Congress next takes office, in this case, January 2005. Want to comment on that? 303-382-1150. Heather in Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just I had a friend recently pose a question to me, and I actually haven't been able to get it out of my head, so that's why I'm calling. But I'm wondering what your thoughts on maybe if Dean wins the nomination, if he would have Hillary Clinton as a vice president.
Well, first of all, if he would, I don't think my feeling is she won't go for it, and then she won't go for being a vice president.
You don't think she would go for being a vice president?
First of all, this is what people say. They all say that she could outdistance Dean. That's the feeling. Whether it's true or not is another matter.
Right.
But a lot of people believe that she could be a better vote getter, that she could poll higher than Howard Dean. So why would she want to be a vice president? But she has said that she's promised the people of the state of New York that she would serve out her term completely and that she's not going to do it.
Well, she said she wasn't going to do vice presidency or the presidency?
The presidency.
Right, but wouldn't that be an excellent ticket? I mean, that's kind of a formidable opponent if you had a Dean Clinton ticket, don't you think?
I think it would be, but I don't think she's going to do it. What do you think about a Dean Clark ticket?
Well, I don't know. I know that Clark did ask Clinton to be his vice president, and there was no comment on that. So, and I have heard rumors that Dean has asked Clark to be vice president, but Clark did not want to take it, and the Dean campaign is actually denying they ever asked him that. And one thing I found interesting was the fact that Dean, who proposed his basically health care bill, was very similar to the one that Clinton was trying to pass, which was actually written by Hillary. Am I right on that?
I'm not sure, but I do know that there's now a huge a push, and it might be even on both sides of the aisle, but there's a huge push that people have, that this country has got to get health care for all of its people, not just some of them.
Right.
There's a big push now, even among possibly some Republicans.
Well, I just, you know, I hope it happens. I would love to see that happen. So I would feel much more confident in this race if that were the case.
What do you think is going to happen in Iowa? Who's going to take it in Iowa, and what significance will that be?
I don't know. I'm thinking in the end, I mean, you have to, there are moments I look at Dean and I'm thinking, oh, please be quiet. But, you know, then I look at him and I realize, you know, he's the only one with any sort of a strong statement or lead or someone.
Why are people putting him down? Because he's finally telling the truth, and they're saying, and the media is calling him angry and this and that and the other. And I don't see him as being angry. I would do it the same way he's doing it.
But they're all spinning him into making him look like a liberal idiot.
Or that if he makes a mistake, they focus on his gaffes. George W. Bush has made more mistakes than anybody else, and nobody's focusing on his gaffes.
Well, right. I mean, he's a village idiot himself.
Oh. Heather, thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Republicans are worried about the deficit. This may surprise you. President Bush faces the growing risk of a mutiny within his own party by fiscal conservatives who are worried about the increasing budget deficit. More than 90 House Republicans plan to meet January 22nd to the 23rd next week under the auspices of the House Republican Study Committee to discuss ways to stop what leaders call excessive government spending, most of which has been initiated by the Bush White House and approved by the Republican Congress. Representative Sue Myrick, Republican from North Carolina, predicted serious talk at the annual retreat of ways to get a handle on the deficit. Spending is going to be a major, major, major part of the discussion, she said. She chairs the group. She said she could not predict what the members are going to decide, but she warned that they could decide to reject any major new spending initiatives. The conservative anger is the latest example of a widening resistance to sharp increases in government spending and the budget deficit. So you have real conservative Republicans, and they are very upset and very concerned at the spending levels. Here's the Wall Street Journal headline story on Dean. Dean on the economy. He's got Wall Street roots, mainstream talk, lifelong market ties show another side of the candidate. He says, I'm pro-business. And he has taken his own family monies, I think, over a 20-year period. His family gave him about $1 million. And I think he turned it into $4 million. He's famously frugal. There is a new interview on Dean and his wife in the People magazine. If it isn't on the stands, it will be. And in it, he likes to keep the heat down and she freezes, and he likes to talk on the phone and she doesn't. So here's how they've divided it up in their marriage. She pays the heating bills because she likes to jack up the heat and be warm, and he pays his own phone bills because he's always yakking on the phone. But otherwise, they're so frugal, they don't even have cable TV in the house. And he said, I ran the state of Vermont like I ran my house. There was always a balanced budget. And you know what? I believe him. But his background is Wall Street. His father was a big Wall Street guy. They called him Big Howard, even though he was 5'8", just like Little Howard is. And he worked as a broker for a while on Wall Street, long enough to know that it wasn't for him, and he decided to go to med school. But he has done very well for himself, and he did very well fiscally for the state of Vermont. 303-382-1150. And here is Paul O'Neill. Sidney Blumenthal writing about Paul O'Neill, and this to me is very intriguing. It's one of the things we're going to cover on Fox News tomorrow night about Paul O'Neill. So I'm interested to have your two cents on this. But here's Paul O'Neill, so far the highest ranking Republican, sounding the alarm against an unfit president who lacks credibility with his most senior officials and behind whom looms a dark puppeteer, as O'Neill calls Dick Cheney, and a closed cabal, a strict code of personal fealty to Bush, animated by the embrace of a few unquestioned ideologues, seem to be in collision with a faith in the broader ideals of honest inquiry. In other words, when you pit truth against these ideologues, truth loses. Paul O'Neill is upset at the regular violations he sees in his notion of a sound government. He concludes a pattern, either no process or a truncated one, where efforts to collect evidence and construct smart policy are, with little warning, co-opted by the White House political team or the vice president or whoever got to the president and said something true or not. Invading Iraq was on the agenda of the first meeting of the Principals Committee for the National Security Council, which O'Neill attended months before 9/11. And, he says, it was pushed relentlessly. Regressive tax cuts creating massive deficits were implemented without economic justification as, quote, the administration has managed to kill the wise at every turn. When the political team distorts basic economic numbers on tax cuts and inserts them into the 2001 State of the Union address, O'Neill yells, this is complete BS, and he uses the real word, which we cannot do because it's not 10 o'clock at night yet. It is something that the knowledgeable people in U.S. government knew to be false. O'Neill is shocked at the derogation of policy in favor of corporate special interests, a combination of confidentiality and influence by powerful interested parties, at the expense of even scientific evidence. He learns that moderate Republicans like Colin Powell and Christy Whitman may have been there, but mostly as cover. So O'Neill's, I think, though, is the most damning thing. Listen to this. O'Neill's firsthand account of Bush appears to paint him as a bully, using nicknames to demean people. He appears querulous. When Bush orders a cheeseburger and it doesn't arrive quickly, he summons his chief of staff, Andy Card. You're the chief of staff, he says. You think you're up to getting us some cheeseburgers? Card nodded. No one laughed. He all but raced out of the room. Bush appears manipulated. Stick to principles, another phrase that has a tonic effect on Bush. It was used by Karl Rove to push for additional tax cuts. He appears incurious and, above all, intensely political. When Bush holds forth, it's often to demonstrate he's not Clinton. He informs the National Security Council that on Middle East peace, Clinton overreached, and that he will take Ariel Sharon, quote, at face value, and will not commit himself to a peace process, quote, I don't see how much we can do over there at this point. I think it's time to pull out of the situation. Powell is, quote, startled, but Bush reverts in the meeting to the, quote, same flat, unquestioning demeanor that O'Neill was familiar with. Let me ask you this question. O'Neill describes him as having a demeanor, an affect, flat affect, same flat, unquestioning demeanor. It is all the signs of being, dare I say it, brainwashed. I've covered cults, and he sounds like he's brainwashed. And when Dick Cheney, when he was questioning tax cuts that he'd already given the rich and now said, isn't it time for tax cuts to help the middle class and the working folks? That's when Karl Rove said, stick to principle, stick to principle, stick to principle, like he's programmed. Maybe that's why they've formed this real tight cordon around him, because maybe he's sort of brainwashed. Maybe he's so highly manipulatable. Maybe it's like Manchurian Candidate. Maybe he's even weaker than we thought. Maybe he's like a cipher that they have programmed. 303-382-1150, what do you think? I'm Enid Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Nina. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Arvada police are investigating a possible kidnapping this afternoon. A woman called police saying that her husband had been taken at gunpoint from their home. Police say the getaway vehicle is an older model gray Camaro with a red stripe down the middle of the hood, perhaps over the top of the car as well. The suspects are two men and two women. Denver and Aurora are teaming up for a joint business deal that will involve an 1,800-acre mixed-use development at Peña Boulevard and E-470. The project will include a hotel, a golf course, and a high-end business park. It'll be about this time next year when the groundbreaking happens. An elderly man from Aurora who was missing for most of the day yesterday was found safe early this morning in Broomfield. 79-year-old Jack Williams disappeared about 10:30 yesterday morning while on the way to the doctor. A Broomfield police officer spotted the man, got him checked out by a doctor, and got him back home safe. In sports, it's the Denver Nuggets versus the Dallas Mavericks tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Nuggets beat the Mavericks in November when the two teams last met. If you want to avoid an expensive repair job on your car's automatic transmission, get to AutoZone and change your transmission fluid every 2 years or 24,000 miles. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
If you're trying to lose weight safely, sensibly, and effectively, listen closely. This message is for you. We all know that to lose weight, a sensible diet and exercise are the keys to getting rid of unwanted pounds. And while we can't always be good, there's a secret weapon to get you through the tough times. Introducing UltraCarb. The active ingredient in all-natural UltraCarb can slow the transition of carbohydrates into fat, giving you the edge it takes when you're trying to lose weight the right way. Thousands of people across the country have made UltraCarb a part of their weight loss program with amazing results. The fact is, no pill can make you lose weight overnight, but with UltraCarb, you can get a welcome boost toward achieving your goal, and in the war against fat, every little bit helps. Whether you're on a low-carb diet or just reducing your intake, UltraCarb can help. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing a happier, thinner you. With UltraCarb, you can make that a reality. Call now to find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or your money back. 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. It's risk-free and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time now to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
It continues to be a really rough drive up the South Valley this afternoon. This report is service of Albertsons. Two accidents northbound in the valley at Evans. They're both out of the way now, but the second one has caused another traffic jam all the way back to Hamden Avenue, and the jam is continuing to grow as police try to clear up the remnants of the accident. Most of it's out of the way, but you're still going to have an awful lot of trouble getting up from the tech center on through the South Valley. Southbound on the valley at Bellevue, there's a car with a flat tire and a tow truck on the scene there taking care of that. And everything else in the system looks pretty good. Reminder that stock show traffic will cause you some problems around the Coliseum most of the rest of the day and the weekend and up through about the 25th of January. Don't miss Albertson's 10-cent sale going on now with navel oranges, russet potatoes, danjou pears, lemons, and limes, all 10 cents each. Stop by today. Albertson's, helping make your life easier. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Mike Stenefford with the KNRC Forecast and the Weather Channel. Nothing much to worry about weather-wise for the next several days. Intervals of cloud cover and some sunshine this afternoon, and we'll get up to a high of 48. We're going to turn partly cloudy tonight, low down at 23, and quiet weather continues this weekend. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 46. Look for lots of sunshine on Sunday, with highs staying in the mid-40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenefort on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under cloudy skies, it's 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock, or when it breaks, on AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did, but then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smoke Away. shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stock market's holding positive inside the final hour of trading. Dow Industrials right now up 28 points. Oil traders cranked up the thermostat today, sending crude oil futures to the highest levels since mid-March. Up over $1.50 to finish the week above $35 a barrel. Heating oil prices also higher, up over 5%, as large portions of the country shiver through bitter cold temperatures. Many oil stocks are climbing, too. Chevron Texaco is up a quarter. Halliburton adding almost a half dollar, helped by a Washington Post report that Vice President Dick Cheney's former company stands to profit from President Bush's plans to go back to the moon and eventually Mars. Nation's airlines have no intention of absorbing higher fuel costs. So far, Continental and United Airlines have followed American in raising their fuel surcharge by $6 to $26 for a round-trip ticket. Watching Wall Street, Dow up 29 now, NASDAQ adding 28, the S&P is up 6 points. Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
144 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and I want to remind you I am on Fox News tomorrow sometime between 6 and 7 p.m. Twice they're going to have me on. I think they have a new segment called The Outrage of the Week or something, and I'm going to be on that one. And also I'm going to be up against Mike Gallagher at some point. We'll be talking about politics and Paul O'Neill and that sort of thing. And now I'm off to Venice on Monday night. So I'll be here with you on Monday. And next week, while I'm gone, you're going to be in great hands. Tom Reed, who is the bureau chief, Rocky Mountain bureau chief for the Washington Post. He's been the bureau chief for the Washington Post in London and I think also Tokyo. He's going to be filling in for me on Tuesday. Jerome Davis is going to be filling in for me a couple of days, and Judy and Evelinda, the Style Twins, are going to be filling in for me for a couple of days, and they're not going to be doing style stuff. They're going to be doing general talk. So, you'll be seeing them in a different incarnation, and I think you're going to be in great hands, and I'll be back with you Tuesday the 27th. So I'm only gone for 1 week. I get this email from Brian. Brian says, Enid, would you please stop rambling about your trip to Venice? I was excited to find you so many months ago, but the more I listen to you, the more I see you as an arrogant and elitist ideologue. You are exactly what the right-wingers decry as limousine liberals. You claim to be for the little guy, but you've never even been in the trenches. Right? How does he know that? And you laud your lofty travels and culture and decry opponents as stupid. You're just like Limbaugh. You're as misplaced. You are just like Limbaugh. It's misspelled, I mean. You're just only on the other side of the aisle. You don't post any information of value on your website. You never acknowledge emails. You are a snob, and I think I'll just listen to Doug from now on. Why is it so hard to get the B word off my mind while I listen to you? Former fan, Brian from Oregon. So he's mad at me because I don't acknowledge his emails, and he wrote me all these positive emails, and now because I haven't acknowledged them, I'm a limousine liberal. I'm an insufferable snob-o-matic, and other things. You may wish to comment. 303-382-1150. I'm asking the question. Paul O'Neill has described President Bush as being a bully, using nicknames to demean people, using his chief of staff as a flunky and a gopher. Go get me those cheeseburgers. Now you know why his twins treat the Secret Service like they're flunkies and gophers. Whereas Chelsea Clinton treated the men and women who were highly trained and trained to take a bullet on her behalf, she treated them with respect. And as a result, they really supported her. Here is how Paul O'Neill describes George Bush. Incurious, intensely political, querulous, petulant. And he reverts in his meeting to the same flat, unquestioning demeanor that O'Neill was familiar with. All the signposts of being brainwashed. Don't laugh about that. People who are members of cults are brainwashed, and I have covered cults. I don't know if you know about this little-known chapter. I guess if you get Channel 8, I've been on Channel 8 lately. I haven't seen it, but I'm hoping to get a videotape, and we're going to try and put it up on the website. But I once posed as a homeless woman to go to Oregon on a 15-hour bus ride to Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, who was this spiritual guru with 90-something Rolls Royces up in Oregon. Do you remember that story? Well, allegedly they had an abundance to share. And so they were busing in the homeless to share their wonderful abundance and largesse, but that really wasn't it. What really was going on, Oregon had a 20-day residency requirement, and an important election to the commune was coming up, and they wanted to pack the election. And this is how far they went. They went so far as to put salmonella in the salad bars of four restaurants the night before the election was to be held, so that people would be too sick to go and vote. Locals would be too sick to go and vote. And I posed as a homeless woman, which in my case meant no makeup, and carried my goods in a shopping bag, and they put Haldol into our food. One person died. There was a, they strip searched us. It was a very tough environment. But you saw a lot of examples of brainwashing. I bring it up because a lot of the followers of the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh were graduates of Harvard and Yale and all of our best schools, and they were still brainwashed. So going to a good school doesn't prevent you from being brainwashed. So here's all this attention on the Iowa caucus, and I got an email from Eric saying that caucus winners who failed to win a nomination for include Democrats Dick Gephardt in 1988, Tom Harkin in 1992, Republicans George H.W. Bush in 1980, and Bob Dole in 1988. So winning the caucus doesn't really mean a lot, except it gives you a kind of momentum for right then and there. 303-382-1150. George, calling from Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Thank you, Enid. I heard on the radio today that, on the news break, that the Mars race thing is going to benefit Halliburton.
Yeah.
And Reagan kind of played with this stuff, I think, when he was running for re-election, and he pushed that Columbia spaceship too early, even when the temperatures were cold and the O-rings went out and there was a catastrophe. And
I think the Challenger, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe it was the Challenger. But
okay.
The thing is, in the back of my mind for the past two or three weeks, I've been thinking about the term the United States of Halliburton. I think we had to, under the Bush administration, I think we had to change the name of this country to the United States of Halliburton. It would be more appropriate.
Just for the Halliburton of it? Is that what you're suggesting?
Whatever.
All right, George. Well, we'll mull that idea over with
right.
Virtually no chance whatever of success.
Right.
But I thank you anyway. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So here it is. You've got Dean flipping in the polls in New Hampshire. Clark is gaining. If you were to put money on it, who do you think is going to win in the Iowa caucuses? There's all this polling going on in the Zogby poll. But remember, Zogby, this is, first of all, a caucus that's almost impossible to poll, people say. And Zogby, remember when he declared Strickland the winner? Just barely over Wayne Allard? And he was wrong. Do you remember that? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150. KNRC.
Get your side. Get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
Hi, this is Larry King. It seems like we're all trying to eat right these days, but how about drinking right, too? Did you know that a delicious 6-ounce glass of Welch's 100% grape juice, made from Welch's own Concord grapes, counts as a serving of fruit? It also has 3 times the antioxidant power of grapefruit, tomato, or even orange juice. Not bad when you consider that growing evidence suggests diets rich in antioxidants may reduce the risk of heart disease. Welch's Purple Grape Juice. Don't just eat right. Drink right, too.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Ronald McDonald House offers comfort, hope, and love by providing a home away from home to out-of-town families receiving medical treatment for their children. They could use your help with donations of non-perishable food items and assistance with meal preparation. Both groups and individuals are needed for volunteer programs. If you can help, please call the Ronald McDonald House at 303-832-2667 or go online to ronaldhouse.org. If you want to avoid an expensive repair job on your car's automatic transmission, get to AutoZone and change your transmission fluid every 2 years or 24,000 miles. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge, and lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
153 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I'm going to be on Fox tomorrow night from 6 to 7. You know, if we're talking about MoveOn.org, the ad that CBS won't run, and I'm encouraging you to bombard CBS and make them accountable, really. If they're going to run Department of Defense ads, recruiting ads for the services, which one of you says that they routinely do at the Super Bowl, let them run MoveOn.org ad, the winner of that 30-second Bush defined in 30-second contest. 303-382-1150. And while you're at it, bombard Fox, too, while I'm on there, because I think that the guy I'm going to be up against is going to try and rip out my gizzard by the roots, and he may very well be successful, and we don't want him to be that successful, but who knows? You never know about this kind of thing. So let Fox know what you think, and tell them that you're thrilled that they had me on. You don't have to tell them that. You can tell them whatever you want, but as long as they get meal, they'll like that. The U.S. may end the ban on Iraq contracts. Bush administration officials are leaning toward reversing a ban on bidding by French, German, and Russian companies for U.S. finance Aha! They're getting smart. And they're realizing that if they're going to need their allies, and particularly since it's being reported that Bush is going to want to get out of Iraq before the election next year because he's not going to want to risk it. So what kind of chaos do you think that's going to leave in terms of that region and in terms of Iraq? We got Saddam Hussein, but the region's a mess? Wow, I don't know. Bush got jeered big time when he visited the grave of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He got a chorus of boos. It's hypocrisy for George Bush to come down here, raise money, and do a drive-by at the gravesite, said one person. It's not about Dr. King's legacy. It's about getting reelected. The Republican National Committee has a huge cash advantage over the Democrats. Flush with cash, the RNC is ready to spend it in elections. In all, the RNC has raised about $105.5 million last year. The Democrats have raised only $42 million. Should I give you that number again? The Republicans have raised about $105.5 million, let's say $106 million last year. The Democrats, the DNC, raised only $42 million. So the Republicans have raised 2.5 times what the Democrats have raised. Both spent millions reaching out to potential donors and voters, but the Republican committee was able to spend millions more than the Democrats. So what does that mean is going to happen? That's a very, very bad sign. And Wesley Clark has said he's going to stand up to a persistent pattern of secrecy in the Bush White House. He has said that he is opening up his own personal records today, and he has challenged his Democratic presidential rivals to follow suit. He joined the field of Democrats relatively late. He's not going to be part of the Iowa caucuses. He's focusing his efforts instead on New Hampshire's January 27th primary. A new poll published today shows him snapping at the heels of Howard Dean, who's also now locked in a tight four-way tussle in Iowa. Dean's got 28% in New Hampshire. Clark is second at 23%. But there's a four-point margin of error. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry was third at 16%. But Clark's recent rise in New Hampshire has also made him a prime target for both his Democratic and Republican rivals, and they're questioning whether he's been consistent in his opposition on the war. It was reported, the Drudge Report dredged up, that in 2002 he had testified before Congress, Wesley Clark had, in favor of going to war against Iraq. Will this hurt him if he gets much higher in the polls? 303-382-1150. Bush's immigration plan is hurting his reelection war chest. His immigration initiative has angered conservative Republicans to such an extent that some are refusing to donate to his reelection campaign. Well, what does he care? They've got about practically three times the money that the Democrats have. And national leaders of six conservative organizations broke with Republican majorities in the House and Senate, accusing them of spending like drunken sailors, and some had strong words for President Bush as well. Well, thank God some of the Republican conservatives are finally coming awake. One said the Republican Congress is spending at twice the rate as under Bill Clinton, and President Bush has yet to issue a single veto. This is from Paul Weyrich, National Chairman of Coalitions for America. I complained about profligate spending during Clinton's years, but never thought I'd have to do so with a Republican in the White House and Republicans controlling Congress. So Republican conservatives are finally coming out of the closet, and they're becoming pretty upset with the kind of spending that's happening when we're in the face of such massive deficits. And Bush's immigration plan is hurting his reelection war chest, but the war chest is so huge, it probably won't have that much of an impact. The Republicans have raised last year three times what the Democrats have. And Michael Jackson, he is so bizarre. Why is he wearing that armband? Are you watching the coverage of him? He's got a party going for all of his supporters at Neverland, and he was 20 minutes late to court, and the judge gave him hell, and the judge is going to show who's boss. And here's Michael Jackson sashaying in 20 minutes later with a New York attorney who flew all the way in, and the judge said, sorry, you're not admitted to practice in California yet. So he sidelined that attorney, that fancy attorney, and really waggled his finger in Michael Jackson's face. We'll see what happens. This story becomes more and more bizarre. And that is what we're concentrating on, rather than an even more bizarre story, which is George W. Dickey Bush, in the White House. As we continue, some astonishing stories I want to share with you. One more hour of Enid Live right here on
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Pegasus Asthma Study. Police are investigating a possible kidnapping in Arvada. Commander Ray Boras says the incident occurred late this morning.
Arvada Police Department was called by a female who lives at 6403 Utica Street in Arvada. The call came in about 10:50 a.m., and the woman, she indicated that her husband had just been abducted at gunpoint from the residence.
Boras says the victim, 34-year-old Ignacio de la Cruz, was taken by four assailants, two men and two women. He describes the getaway vehicle as an older model gray Camaro with a red stripe down the middle of the hood, perhaps over the top of the car as well. Boras says if you see this car, you need to call 911. Denver and Aurora are teaming up for a joint business venture that will benefit both cities. Beginning in early 2005, construction will begin on a development known as High Point at DIA. The mixed-use development will feature a golf course, a hotel, and a high-end business park. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says he hopes the partnership with Aurora on this project will be the first of many business-related team efforts involving local municipalities.
Suffice it to say that I hope that High Point at DIA is the first of what will become many examples of regional cooperation, and not just between Denver and Aurora, between Aurora and North Glen, or Aurora and Broomfield, and Denver and Littleton, or Denver and North Glen. The entire region can start working together on a regular basis.
Aurora Mayor Ed Tower says cooperation between the two cities will be a big job, but can be accomplished in small increments. The chief of the Boulder Fire Department got a vote of no confidence by a majority of the city firefighters. Union firefighters held a secret ballot in which 92% said they don't want Fire Chief Larry Donner to stay in his position. Donner has been in charge during several recent budget cuts. Firefighters want more firefighters to be hired and want promotion procedures to be changed. The owner of a textbook publishing company is paying $50,000 to make good on another man's promise to some elementary school students. Doug Morton of Morton Publishing, based in Arapahoe County, wrote a check to cover the money which was promised by former NFL star Reggie White back in 1998. The first grade students at Harrington Elementary in Denver were promised the money to help with college tuition. Those kids are now in the sixth grade. The school's officials say they tried to contact White but got no response. Michael Jackson pled not guilty at his arraignment this afternoon in a Santa Monica courtroom, or this morning, rather. Steve Gonzalez has more.
The arraignment for the pop star took only 4 minutes, and as expected, after listening to all the charges, Jackson pleaded not guilty. The judge then took about 2 hours to listen to attorneys argue their case for a gag order, no cameras in the courtroom. And on his way out, Jackson got on top of his limousine to wave goodbye to hundreds of loyal fans, and apparently his staff handed out invitations to a party at Neverland this afternoon to thank them for their support. In Santa Maria, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
Jackson showed up to court 20 minutes late, which irritated the judge. He scolded Jackson, calling his tardiness an insult to the court. The head U.S. civilian in Iraq is looking forward to meeting with U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan on Monday. Paul Bremer says the meetings will focus on the importance of the U.N.'s role in Iraq.
And in finding a way to move forward with the implementation of the agreement of November 15th to return sovereignty to the Iraqi people in the middle of the year, June 30th.
Bremer returned to the U.S. this week to meet with President Bush and other top U.S. officials about the handoff of power. He added that he's looking forward to returning to private life on July 1st. President Bush delivers his annual State of the Union address Tuesday night. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi says the president and the Republican-led Congress are not in sync with the priorities of average Americans.
After 3 years of reckless Republican rule, the record is clear. President Bush and Republicans in Congress are focused on a different set of priorities, looking out for corporate interest rather than middle-class Americans.
In a speech at the National Press Club, the California Democrat accused Republicans of presiding over a government, quote, of the few, for the few, and by the few. The latest poll of Iowans shows that Massachusetts Senator John Kerry is maintaining a slight lead over his closest rivals. Kerry is favored by 24% of the voters. Just before the close of today's session, stocks were higher. Dow up more than 39 points. The NASDAQ up nearly 31. The S&P 500 up just over 6. In sports, the Denver Nuggets play host to the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Nuggets beat the Mavs when they last played in November. Colorado Avalanche have the night off tonight, coming off their 4-2 win over the Dallas Stars last night. Avs are back in action tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center against the San Jose Sharks. If you're an adult with asthma, you're invited to see if you qualify to participate in a medical research study called Pegasus Asthma. To learn more, just visit goasthma.com. That's goasthma.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning show looks at immigration and foreign visitors. President Bush unveiled his plan to allow illegal immigrants to work legally in the United States. Bush's plan allows companies to fill low-paying and often dangerous jobs with immigrant workers if the jobs cannot be filled by willing Americans. When the 3-year work exemption expires, immigrants are expected to return to their home country. Proponents say the plan rewards hard work and protects immigrants. Opponents say it panders to big corporations and is a ploy to attract Hispanic voters in the upcoming election. Immigrants fear that it will result in deportation after they have worked hard to build a life in America. Is the plan a good idea or a shrewd political ploy? What do you think? Tune in Friday night at 8:30 as a panel of Coloradans debate this and more on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Also, the U.S. now digitally fingerprints foreign visitors. Are we overreacting? Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind Fridays only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The latest on-freeway problem is still northbound I-25 approaching Evans. Two earlier accidents have really bottled things up there for the last 2 hours or so. Right now, traffic is starting to improve through there, but it's still going to take a little while for the volume to loosen up between Hamden and Evans as you head northbound on I-25. This report is service of the Air National Guard. Rest of the freeway system looking pretty good this afternoon. One off-freeway problem to tell you about. It's an accident with injuries at Federal and Bellevue, and emergency equipment is on the scene there. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Mike Stiniford with the KNRC Forecast and the Weather Channel. A quiet weather pattern for the next several days for this afternoon. A lot of cloud cover, a few peaks of sunshine, and we'll get up to a high of 48. We're going to turn partly cloudy tonight, low down at 23, and look for a quiet weekend. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 46. Bright sunshine Sunday, high up to 45. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stiniford on AM 1150, KNRC.
Under cloudy skies, it's 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35. Or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
207, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. A lot to tell you about. When I return from Italy, we're going to have as guests Stephen J. Cannell, Hollywood producer, screenwriter, bestseller, best-selling author. His new book is called Vertical Coffin. What was it, Rockford Files? Wasn't that one of his big shows on TV? The Commish, A-Team, and a bunch of other shows, and he's got a lot of movies to his credit. We've had him on before, and he'll be joining us again, and that's the very day that I return, which is Tuesday the 27th. And later in this month, by popular demand, we are going to have with us Kevin Phillips. He has written a book. He is a former Republican and may still be a Republican, but he's written a book called American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush. So here are these spate of books coming out, timed sort of one after another in advance of the election. I don't know if it's going to matter. Right now, you've got the Republicans who have almost three times the money. They've raised almost three times the money as the Democrats. But this is what's coming up. I will be on the Fox News Channel tomorrow night sometime between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. It's national television. It's a return appearance as a guest. The host is former Ohio Congressman John Kasich. And I think I'm going to be on in two different segments in that show. It's an hour-long show, and I'm not quite sure in what part of those I'm going to be. I think the first one is maybe like around 6:15 or something, and then there'll be a second segment. So you might want to let Fox know how you feel about seeing me on there. You might love it. You might hate it. You might whatever you want to say. And you should let CBS know about how you feel that they are preventing the MoveOn.org, the winner of that contest, Bush in 30 Seconds, from being aired during the Super Bowl, and MoveOn.org is willing to pay the bucks. Also, we are having some technical difficulties today. You may have realized that. So we've been on and off the air. Just to let you know, please have patience with us. We're trying to solve the problem. 303-382-1150. Apparently, Gary Hart is contemplating, and we'll have an answer in about a week or so, whether to make a run for the Senate yet again as sort of a prelude to running for presidency in 2008. Mark Udall doesn't think Gary Hart is going to do it. What do you think? I'm kind of thinking he's not going to do it either. It's just a lot of, it's a lot. And it's a lot to take on Ben Nighthorse Campbell. And if he loses, then what? And what do you think will happen? You want to speculate? 303-382-1150. A conservative nonprofit law firm filed a request with Palm Beach County State Attorney Barry Krischer, seeking any records of his staff's communications with the media relating to his office's investigation into Rush Limbaugh's prescription drug use. There, this conservative law firm nonprofit is trying to find out where the media leak came in the Rush Limbaugh probe. The request seeks any reference to refer to Limbaugh dating to January 1, 2000, and are not exempt from public review as part of the criminal investigation. Roy Black, Limbaugh's attorney, has accused the spokesman, Krischer's spokesman, of leaking confidential information about the investigation to the media. Well, there you go. Here's my feeling about it. If you're not embarrassed to do it, I'm not embarrassed to report on it. Now, I don't know how confidential this stuff was supposed to be kept, but if Rush is taking pills, he lied to his audience, he lied to his listeners, and pretty much he lied to himself. And that it's coming out now, he's been out of shape after he has argued for a long, long time that there's no such thing as a right to privacy in the Constitution. Now he wants the right to privacy. You want to comment? Can you spell hypocrite? 303-382-1150. And because we were live from the press club last Friday, I didn't have a chance to comment on it, but John Lundorf had the most juicy review. I love some of these negative reviews of a restaurant called Josephine in Larimer Square. It was so bad, he gave it an even worse rating than he did the Palm, and I thought you couldn't go much lower than the Palm. I think he gave the Palm a D. You know, the Palm is that big power broker restaurant. It's just a chain. Come on, guys. It's just a chain. Josephina's in Larimer Square gave it a D-. He said the food was horrible, and the service sounded like it was even worse. So clean up your act, Josephina, if you want to get a better rating. 303-382-1150. All right, here you go. A Roman Catholic bishop who has waded into politics with this decree. He has decreed that lawmakers who support abortion rights or a woman's right to choose can no longer receive Holy Communion. He's the Catholic bishop and was in Milwaukee. Or in La Crosse, actually, he cited Vatican doctrine, canon law, and teachings by the U.S. bishops. In an announcement telling diocesan priests to withhold communion from lawmakers until they publicly renounce their support of abortion rights. 303-382-1150. So what do you have to do? Take a political test before you can get communion? Is that the story in Milwaukee or in La Crosse, Wisconsin? Because you have here a Roman Catholic bishop who has ignited a church-state debate with his decree. If you are a lawmaker, not if you're just an ordinary citizen. So I guess, you know, they're not going to hold up the political radar over your head and see if you fall into the red zone. But if you're a lawmaker and you're in favor of a woman's right to choose, you're not going to get communion in Milwaukee or in La Crosse or in any part of the Roman Catholic territory that Bishop Raymond Burke controls. Is that very religious? I mean, it sounds more like a political move. It sounds more like, it doesn't sound like real religion to me. It doesn't sound like real spirituality to me. I'm offended by it. I'm not Catholic, although I did go to a Catholic school for a while. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And this, an intriguing piece of news that I got emailed, Harmony emailed me this piece of news. And those of you who have strong imaginations and are thinking about becoming novelists, let me share this with you because I don't have any independent corroboration. But from various newspaper accounts, this is what we have. This story, and there are three or four different stories. This story is dated January the 9th, 2004, so just a few days ago. Another microbiologist dies, this time a Houston hit and run. Robert Leslie Burghoff, 45, who studied the Norwalk virus plaguing cruise ships, was struck from behind by a white or light van that jumped the sidewalk on November 20th. A reward of up to $20,000 was announced for tips leading to the arrest and charges of a hit-and-run motorist who killed that chemist working in the Texas Medical Center. Robert Leslie Burghoff, 45, is a postdoctoral fellow at Baylor College of Medicine's Molecular Virology and Microbiology Department. He was walking to his car November 20 when he was hit from behind by a white or light-colored cargo van that jumped the sidewalk in the 1600 block of South Braeswood. This is in Texas. He's the father of three. He had been studying the Norwalk virus plaguing cruise ships. Broken glass found at the scene was matched to a Ford E-Series van 1997 to 2004 model. A witness reported seeing a round insignia on the right back portion of the van below the license plate and suspected it was a city emblem, but no city-owned van of that description was found to have any damage, police said. The van might have also had a spider crack in the windshield. Witnesses said the van had no side windows, but had two dark tinted windows in the rear. A sad but otherwise unremarkable story, right? Well, Harmony sends me some more. Here's a story that appeared 2002 by Lisa Belkin. Now, that was a 2004 story, just recent. Just a few days ago, Lisa Belkin, New York Times, August 2002, when the Miami police first found Benito K., he was slumped on a desolate side street near the empty spot where he had habitually parked his Ford Explorer. At about the same time, Don C. Wiley mysteriously disappeared. His car, a white rented Mitsubishi Galant, was abandoned on a bridge outside Memphis where he had just had a jovial dinner with friends. The following week, Vladimir Pasechnik collapsed in London, apparently of a stroke. Three different people dead in three different ways. The list could grow to nearly a dozen in the space of four nerve-jangling months. Stabbed in Leesburg, Virginia, suffocated in an airlocked lab in Geelong, Australia, found wedged under a chair, naked from the waist down in a blood-spattered apartment in Norwich, England, hit by a car while jogging, killed in a private plane crash, shot dead while a pizza delivery man served as a decoy. What joined these men was their proximity to the world of bioterror and germ warfare. Now, here's a counterpunch argument, thinking the unthinkable, with a February 14, 2002 dateline. In the five-week period from November 16, 2001 through December 23, 2001, five world-class microbiologists in different parts of the world were reported dead. Four undoubtedly died of, quote, unnatural causes, while the fifth's death is quite questionable. In the 10 weeks prior to December 12, 2001, two additional microbiologists were killed, and possibly another five. The period also saw the deaths of three Israelis holding high-level positions in either medical research or public health. I mean, isn't this an incredible story? So all these microbiologists were somehow killed. They died of unnatural causes. those of you who have the novelistic imagination or who could write a thriller based on all of them being microbiologists working on various viruses, you would have a very juicy story. And better yet, if you were an investigative reporter, you would have a very juicy story here. 303-382-1150. All these microbiologists, and the most recent one, it just happened in Texas. And nobody is connecting the dots, or are they? Or are there dots to connect? This is the first I've heard of it. This was an email from Harmony, and she sent me all these other pieces that sort of connects this. What do you think? Amendment 22, the law that was supposed to close the so-called gun show loophole to require background checks on gun buyers, could be altered for the first time by the Colorado legislature. Yesterday, a House committee took the initial step toward changing the voter pass law, approving a bill requiring gun sellers to run background checks only when there's a sale, not when there's an attempted sale. The wording in the bill is subtle, but what it means is this. It would make profound changes by allowing sales transactions started at a gun show to be completed off-premises later without the background check. The way it's set up now is if you start the procedure of a sale and it doesn't happen, you still have to go through a background check. But if you start it and it isn't completed on-premises and later completed off-premises, no background check has to happen. Now, why are the Republicans so interested in not having background check at the same time that they're supposed to be standing up tall in the war on terrorism, trying to mine all the private data about you they can, including your hair, your saliva, your sweat, any kind of credit data that they can have? They're going to go into NexusLexis and everything else they can find when you board an airplane. But if you buy a gun, they don't want to do a background check. What is this all about? Can someone explain this to me? 303-382-1150. Is it called the NRA? Is it called the gun lobby? What is it called, and why is it being allowed to occur, and why aren't you in a swivet about it? And then you have this bishop, a Roman Catholic bishop. If you're a lawmaker and you're pro-choice, you're not going to take communion in his diocese. That's it for you. Not an ordinary citizen. You have to be a lawmaker. And they're just going to hold up the, the radar over your head. And if you register in the red zone when it comes to abortion rights for women, that's it. No communion for you. Do you think this is fair? Does this sound remotely religious to you? Doesn't sound too religious to me. And here we've got the Borowitz report. We've been talking about all the problems in the Iowa caucus. Before we get to it, let's go to Brad in Evergreen. Hi, Brad. You're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brad.
Hey, how can I help you on this gun thing? It sounds like you have some questions, and I'm a Republican, and I'm a gun owner, and I think I understand this stuff pretty well.
Why are they wanting to open up the closed loophole? In other words, why are they making it so you don't have to do a background check on somebody who's buying a gun? It seems to me that in a time of protecting ourselves against terrorism, you'd be more vigilant about doing background checks.
They absolutely, either way, whether they change it or not, you have to do a background check on everyone who's buying a gun.
No, but the way it's set up now with the new wording is that if the sale's not completed on the premises of a gun show, but it's only begun there, no background check has to happen. But if it's completed, if the sale's completed off premises, no background check therefore has to happen either.
I don't think that's correct. I think
that's what's being reported. Let's assume for the moment that Peggy Lowe at the Rocky Mountain News has it right. The wording in the bill, this is a direct quote, is subtle, but anti-gun advocates say it would make profound changes by allowing sales transactions started at a gun show to be completed off-premises later without background check. If that's true...
Let me answer your question, Enid. Hang on a second. I understand. I read the paper today, too, and I know what they're talking about. What they're trying to change is a couple of words in there, because what happens is, let's say you're at a gun show. If you have interest in something, then what they're supposed to do is immediately run a background check on you. Even if you have interest, if I give that guy my phone number, he's supposed to run a background check. That's a real harsh way to handle things. If a person buys a gun, and this is where I think you've misread what the reporter's saying, if a person does buy a gun, whether they buy it from your home, whether they buy it from the dealer, and almost nobody sells a gun directly from their home. They sell them to what's called a federal firearms.
You're wrong, Brad. Dealer. You're absolutely wrong, because what is being reported here is if the sale is started at the gun show and no background check is required because there's a change in the provision, if it's later completed off-premises, no background check ever has to happen, according to the reporting here. This is what advocates are saying. Anti-gun advocates say it would make profound changes.
Listen to what I'm saying.
You're not right about this.
I know you think I'm not right, but just let me finish. Right now, because they have to run a background check at the gun show, it's more strict than if they had to run a background check later. Now, here's what you'll find out when you get off the phone with me and you get your facts straight. People can't do this. This is illegal. What they're saying is a person can't, like, take your name, wink at you, and then go sell the gun without doing a background check.
No, it's saying that if it doesn't happen at a gun show, that they don't have to do the background check.
Enid, I'll give up if you want, but if you don't want to hear what I'm saying, I won't say it.
You're saying that they have to do the background check at any sale. Are you telling me, Brad, that at any... Just a minute. Just a minute.
You don't know the rules.
At any sale... I'm asking a question. When there is any kind of a sale... off-premises or not, is a background check required?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're saying no, that if it happens, the way the wording change gets going to be changed in this provision, that there won't, a background check will not be required if it is completed off-premises. Now, only going by the reporting here, Brad.
Well, let me straighten out that reporting, because there's different reporting that's accurate. And I read the different reporting that's accurate.
What reporting are you referring to? What are you referring to that you read that's more accurate than Peggy Lowe's story in the Rocky Today?
Okay, now listen to me.
I'm asking you a question. Brad, what did you read? Where are you getting your information from?
In the Rocky. I read the report. I don't know who the person is.
I've got it right in front of me, and I'm reading it to you. I'm reading it to you word for word. The gun advocates say the wording in the bill is subtle, so that even if an attempt, right now, if you're just interested in buying a gun, right, if you just show interest, they have to start doing a background check. Is that correct?
Yes. For example, if I give my name, hey, I'm Brad Lutz, I'm interested in that gun, he cannot do anything but run a background check. Even if I decide later, I call him, I say, I don't want to buy that gun. He is forced to run a background check because I had an interest in the gun at the show.
What advocates are saying now is that the way the law is going to be changed, you could express interest and then later complete the sale off premises.
That's illegal. It will be illegal later, and it's illegal now. Let me finish one sentence. What the gun advocate or the gun what people who go on guns are saying is, what this will enable people to do is to wink at each other at the show and say, okay, thanks, Bill, I appreciate your interest, wink, wink, and then later sell it off-premises illegally without doing a background check.
No, that is not what it is saying here.
Because you're just wrong on it.
No, I'm going, Brad, not by your version of it, but I am going by the reporting here, and they're saying that it can be completed. Now, those of you, all right, Brad, your voice is registered here, and I do thank you for it, but anybody else who has some knowledge of it, I want to hear from you, 303-382-1150, because what Peggy Lowe is saying, this is what advocates are saying, that you could start the transaction at the gun show and complete the transaction off-premises, and no background check might occur as a result. Now, if you know for certain that that's not the case, that this new change would incur, I want to hear from you. 303-382-1150. Brad says that I'm wrong. I'm reading Peggy Lowe's version in the Rocky, and I'm giving it to you verbatim. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hey, what are you doing on the computer?
Believe it or not, I just finished our taxes.
Come on.
Yeah, with TurboTax software.
Are you sure we did it right?
Yes. TurboTax asks you simple questions, and it puts the answers on all the right forms.
Well, what if we made a mistake?
Well, it checks for errors and missed deductions, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Whoa.
I know. So now I can print our return and mail it, or file it electronically, and we're done.
I've always liked that TurboTax.
Really?
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Available at a retailer near you. See box for guaranteed details.
After our family reunion, I tried printing my digital photos at home. And unlike the reunion, printing was no picnic. I used all my ink and the prints didn't look good at all. So I went to Walgreens' new digital photo center. They help me make premium prints that last a lifetime. In fact, they're made by the same one-hour photo lab that makes my film prints, and they only cost 29 cents for each 4x6. Walgreens new Digital Photo Center, where America takes its digital pictures.
Talk to Greg Dobbs.
Okay, here's real justice. Unmitigated, genuine, obvious, don't argue with me justice. This guy in Tucson yesterday goes up to a Salvation Army setup, and the woman who is volunteering is in a wheelchair herself. She has cerebral palsy. She's 60 years old. This guy comes up, grabs the pot. She struggles with him. He runs with the pot, crosses the street, gets hit by a car.
There is justice out there.
Boy, yes.
Greg Dobbs, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1150 KNIC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
228 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. You know what the latest trend is for women? Because so many of them are not getting married and the diamond industry wants to sell them diamonds. A ring for your right hand. It's like the me ring. Your left hand says we, according to the new ad campaign, but your right hand says me. What do you think about that? 303-322-1150. We're talking about a lot of things today. We're talking about trying to unclose the gun show loophole and make no background checks necessary, apparently under certain circumstances. Here is a Republican administration so obsessed with your privacy, getting in there allegedly to protect against terrorism, but John Ashcroft doesn't want to give out any information that is gleaned from gun sales to the authorities. He wants it destroyed right away because the NRA doesn't like that idea. And here you might be able to buy a gun if the wording of this is as Peggy Lowe reports in her Rocky Mountain News piece. You might be able to buy a gun without having to complete engage in a background check. Hey, if you have nothing to hide, why do you care? 303-382-1150. Susan calling from Ellen Park. You're live with Enid. Hi.
That's great to hear you, Enid.
Thank you.
Just had a little tidbit to give people to chew over some more about these dying microbiologists. The Army runs an Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, and it was instituted by Abraham Lincoln, and traditionally they have taken samples from domestic doctors all around the country of anything bizarre because they have the database and the samples to compare and find out what's really going on. They're getting their budget cut by $6 million. Three buildings are being closed, and a quarter to two-thirds of their staff are being laid off. I can't remember the number, but it was in Nature in November. So their funding is being reduced, and the most critical thing is they will no longer be allowed to take samples from domestic doctors anymore. They're strictly going to be a function of the armed forces. To me,
tell me again, spell it out so I understand what you're really talking about. They were taking samples from domestic doctors. What kinds of samples?
Any kind of a tissue sample, that lung or heart or brain, that might be odd. And they send it into the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, and they look at it and compare it to what they've got and store it. So it's a database. It's a fabulous database of any kind of disease or weird thing going on. They're not going to be allowed to do that anymore. So if I'm a doctor in Boulder and I got a weird new disease coming up, I don't have that resource anymore.
Why are scientists saying this is happening? Because I have another story which I'm looking for, and I found it a few days ago, in which all of the information, like say mad cow disease and things like that, the White House now wants to control that. They don't want it. They don't want any kind of information out there that they can't control, including about various diseases and so forth. Why? What is going on? Why do they have to control everything they're doing? Is sort of stealthy.
Well, I think it's pretty scary because they're going to be able to control who finds out about what kind of weird new diseases show up. If you want to have bioterrorism or biowarfare against a population, and you take away the doctors and the pathologists and the scientists who can figure it out, identify it, and come up with an antidote, that puts us all at risk.
Antidote. all right, here it is. I found it. Under a new proposal, and this is just a few days ago, under a new proposal, the White House would decide what and when the public would be told about an outbreak of mad cow disease, an anthrax release, a nuclear plant accident, or any other crisis. The White House Office of Management and Budget is trying to gain final control over release of emergency declarations from the federal agencies responsible for public health, safety, and the environment. What's troubling here is, if you'll recall, after 9/11, The EPA said that it was okay. There was no environmental pollution. It was okay to go back to your apartments.
Exactly.
It was okay to go back to your office. And then some independent employers, some companies like Deutsche Bank and so on, conducted their own research, and they found out that the air quality wasn't only toxic, it was absolutely hideous. And the EPA didn't want to scare anybody, and so they just sent people home to breathe in this horrible stuff because they didn't want to create a panic.
The public good is not their agenda.
No, it isn't. Everything is shrouded in secrecy. There was another report that came out, even stuff as benign as, let's say, the data on tires.
Yeah.
Remember all the Firestone tires and how, what a scandal that was? Tire collection data, air quality data, stuff like that, just the ordinary stuff that's collected at our expense, by the way, taxpayers pay for it. We're not allowed access to that anymore. They're putting a shroud of secrecy around it. You still don't know who made up the Energy Commission that shaped energy policy that Dick Cheney convened. And here, under this new proposal, the White House would decide what and when the public would be told about the outbreak of mad cow disease, anthrax release, nuclear plant accident, or any other crisis. In other words, it could happen, and we might be told nothing whatever about it.
Knowledge is power, and public knowledge is the greatest power, and they know that, and they fear the public more than anything else.
But here, the public is asleep at the wheel.
The
people are such a strong force. If we got up out of our couches, if we threw the remotes out for just a second, put them aside, stood up and really demanded that we have a responsive government and somebody that cares about our interests, not simply their own, and we are not doing it. There are more of us than there are of them.
And the FCC protests last fall proved it. When everybody gets together and tells them we don't want this, they have to pay attention, even if they have already taken money to oppose what the public wants.
Well, what you've got to do, everybody, email your congresspeople, email your senators, email CBS to tell them that they ought to run that moveon.org ad, email Fox News and tell them that I did a great job, even if I didn't.
You do great telling people stuff, but we email Allard and Campbell all the time, and they completely ignore us and poo-poo our concerns.
It doesn't matter. If there are enough people emailing, eventually they have to come around to it. Remember what Gandhi said. Anything you do is ultimately insignificant. Insignificant. But it is very important that you do it. That's what Gandhi said. So just keep doing it. And as more people advance, it's just like starting our radio station here. I mean, it was really one caller at a time.
Mm.
So we're relying on all of you to spread the word about KNRC, and you have just spread the word about something that a lot of us haven't known anything about. That article in Nature, would you send it to me?
I don't have it anymore.
Okay.
It was just a little thing in the back of one of the journals, and it was just about the funding. And I've read a couple of books on the AFIP, so I know how great what they do is, and it's a resource for us to combat disease that they're hobbling.
Well, Susan, keep us posted as more appears, and I thank you very much for the call. I just got this from Ida. Ida says, Enid, this is on the business of keeping quiet because it doesn't pertain to you. And I've heard this before, but it bears repeating. Enid, it's absolutely scary what these, she doesn't call Republicans Republicans, she calls them repukes, are doing to this country, actually the world. Reminds me of this story. They came for the Jews, and since I wasn't Jewish, I did not speak out or protest. They came for the Catholics, and since I wasn't Catholic, I did not speak out or protest. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. So, think about that. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by RAD. Arvada police are continuing their investigation of a possible kidnapping there today. Police received a call this morning from a woman who said her husband had been abducted at gunpoint by two men and two women. Police are looking for an older model gray Camaro with a red stripe down the middle of the hood and perhaps over the top of the car as well. Call 911 if you have any information. The mayors of Denver and Aurora have announced a joint venture that will benefit both cities. A new development called High Point at DIA will feature a host
hotel, high-end business park, and a golf course, and will be located near Pena Boulevard and E-470. Groundbreaking on the project will likely be early next year. The Colorado Attorney General's office is filing suit against a Lakewood-based steel company. The AG's office is General Steel, and several of its associate employees engaged in a practice of deceptive advertising and marketing practices. The suit seeks refunds to the company's victims along with civil penalties and court costs. In sports, the Denver Nuggets welcome the Dallas Mavericks to the Pepsi Center tonight. When the Nuggets and Mavs last played in November, Nuggets won by 10 points. RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety, says please plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Designated drivers rock. Learn more at radd.org. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter, told in the Key of Blues. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. Cooking at the Cookery played to record-breaking crowds throughout the country, including Phoenix, New York, and Chicago. Critics agree the show is red-hot, astonishing, electrifying, delicious entertainment. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets just $40, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m., special $30 price on Wednesdays. On sale at Ticket West outlets, King Supers, by calling 866-464-2626 or at www.denvercivic.com.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Latest freeway problem just coming in. It's a disabled vehicle northbound on I-25 at Bellevue. It's stalled out in the fifth lane on that freeway. That's as you count from the center divider out. And there's a police officer and a tow truck on the scene taking care of that. This report is service of Albertsons. Northbound I-25 approaching Evans, getting back to normal now after some earlier problems. And there's one off-freeway problem to tell you about. It's a minor accident at 18th and Grove in West Denver. Shouldn't be that much of a problem for you. Did you know that Albertsons Pharmacy now gladly accepts workers' compensation prescriptions? It's just one more way the folks at Albertsons work with your needs in mind. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Mike Stenefford with the KNRC Forecast and the Weather Channel. Nothing much to worry about weather-wise for the next several days. Intervals of cloud cover and some sunshine this afternoon, and we'll get up to a high of 48. We're going to turn partly cloudy tonight, low down at 23, and quiet weather continues this weekend. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 46. Look for lots of sunshine on Sunday, with highs staying in the mid-40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenefford on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I own a chain of spas. We offer mud baths, hydrotherapy, everything to de-stress our clients. So if we run into a cash flow problem, the last thing we want is to start stressing out ourselves.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It's very calming.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
The number one mega bestseller, The South Beach Diet, has shown millions how to lose weight fast. Now, The South Beach Diet Good Fats, Good Carbs Guide gives you even more foods you love to keep off the weight you don't. No cravings, no starving, no guesswork, no counting calories. The South Beach Diet by Dr. Arthur Agatston, changing the way America eats. From Rodale. Available wherever books are sold or visit www.southbeachdiet.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages closed out the week on the plus side, thanks in part to a report showing this month's early reading of consumer confidence hitting a three-year high.
The Dow Industrials gained 47 points to 10,601. The NASDAQ rose 31 points to 2140. The S&P 500 added 8 points to 1140. Big board volume was about 1.7 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by roughly 9-7 margin. GE hit a fresh 52-week high and provided the Dow's biggest percentage lift, gaining a little more than 4%. GE matched quarterly profit estimates, and its CEO sees strong momentum going into this year. Juniper Networks helped spark a rally among network gear makers, its stock jumping 30.5%. Merrill Lynch has upgraded Juniper after it topped quarterly profit estimates. Among related companies, Lucent Technologies, the day's busiest stock, it rose 14 cents. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNIC.
242 on the fabulous Friday edition of Eat It Live. I'm going to try to go to Mutz and Miles tonight, maybe. To the Suddenly Sonoma, definitely Denver if I can. And then there's something about the Cheyenne Frontier Days. I love that rodeo. So there's an event connected with that tonight also. And then tomorrow's Fox News, which 6 to 7 I'll be on Fox News Channel. Not the local, not Fox 31. My good friend Bill Dahlma, the news director over there. But Fox News Channel, the national. And I'm a guest, a return appearance on John Kasich's show. He's a former Ohio congressman. It's called Heartland. It's between 6 and 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. And I think I'll be in two segments. So you can let me know what you think about it, although God help us. And then I go to Italy on Monday night. But I will be back here on Monday. You're going to be in great hands while I'm gone. T.R. Reid, who is the Washington Post bureau chief for the Rocky Mountain News, The Washington Post bureau chief of the Rocky Mountain region is going to fill in for me on Tuesday. The Style Twins, Evelinda and Judy, are going to be filling in, doing general talk rather than Style. And, of course, our old friend, our good friend Jerome Davis, is going to be filling in as well. So you're in great hands. I'll be back in just a week, and it'll be Tuesday the 27th, and the guest is going to be Stephen J. Cannell, who has got another blockbuster out, and he's had all these television successes, and you know him from The Commission, The Rockford Files, and The A-Team, and all of that. And later in the month, we're going to have Kevin Phillips, a Republican strategist. Brand new book, American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush. Guaranteed to be a blockbuster. Let's go to the phones. Hal, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
So you're leaving, you're going overseas, huh?
Yeah, and I'm trying to master the Italian, and I never actually relearn it, and I never mastered it in the first place, so it's going to be...
Learn a language that you never knew, huh?
Yeah, nobody's going to understand me, but probably that's just as well.
Probably. It's hard to understand you even when you know the language. You know, you're talking about connecting the dots. I think this might be a wonderful opportunity for you to try and connect the dots while you're over there. They say if you really want to learn about the United States, you should go out of the United States and then take a look at it. And I hope you do that while you're gone.
Well, it'll be certainly be. I may try and call in while I'm gone.
That would be great.
And give you reports from Venice. Does anybody actually want to hear these reports? Because I don't know how much really I'm going to have to report, that I got indigestion or that I spent too much for dinner. I don't know what's going to...
What do the Italians think is going on in the United States?
That's presupposing you can speak Italian.
I'm sure you'll find somebody over there who speaks English.
Well, I think that's a great. I'm going to try and do it. I'm going to try and call in from Denver, and here's Tom. He's here. We're going to. This is good. Well, Hal, thank you. I really thank you for the call.
Okay, see you. Have a great time.
Okay, thanks a lot. If anybody has been in Denver, Venice. And there's something I shouldn't miss. I really want to hear from you. 303-382-1150. Come over here and join me. You want to talk to me a little bit, Tom Reid? I've been telling everybody that you're going to be on the show. Come, bring the chair right here. And I think somebody was calling us, but they're not now. And I guess I'll show you how to press the buttons and do all these wonderful things. I'm glad that you're going to come in and sit in for me.
Hello, Enid. I have to say it's formidable. There are far too many buttons, and I'm sure I'm going to press the wrong one.
No, it's really simple. It's real, yeah, no, it is very, very simple. And if somebody calls me, 303-382-1150, and somebody is right now, okay, then I'm going to show you how to press the buttons.
Okay.
And so with me in the studio, I'll tell you what, with me in the studio, come around the mic, is Tom Reed. T.R. Reed, you know him as. He is the Rocky Mountain Region Bureau Chief for the Washington Post with a distinguished career. He has been the Bureau Chief in London for the Post and also Bureau Chief in Tokyo for the Post. And now he's back, and he's going to be in on Tuesday. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Tom.
Well, thanks for remembering my resume. It was very kind of you.
Did I leave out a couple of books?
Yeah, there are a lot
well?
Of books, but believe me, look, I'm shameless about my books. I will shamelessly top my books on your air, so they don't have to worry about that.
Oh, so you're going to get to
anybody
that.
Who's listening next week will hear more than they want to know about my books.
What are you going to talk about?
They make
about?
Great Christmas giving, by the way, folks.
Yeah, but we got to wait for another year.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, are they good for Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm going to be on your show, you know, I'm going to take over Tuesday, the day after the Iowa caucuses. So we're going to talk about what happened to each of the candidates and what's going to happen in the future and who might be the nominee, which we might have a very good picture of that by Tuesday.
Who do you think is going to be the nominee? If you were going to guess, because it's a statistical dead heat, it's four candidates all locked into a
hot... I just came back from a week in Iowa, and I think the hot guy was John Edwards of North Carolina.
Whom they call the Brett girl behind his back.
You know, the thing about him is, beautiful hair, that's right. He came up with a very smart ploy. And I think it reflects the real guy, too. He never attacked anybody. He hardly even attacks George Bush, but he's never attacked another Democrat. And there's so much mudslinging going on, you know, the last few days of a campaign, that people really like this. They find this attractive in him.
I find it attractive when a guy like Howard Dean comes out swinging and sounding like Harry Truman.
Yeah, and that's why Dean is going to win in Iowa, because there are enough people who despise George Bush. And he's appealing.
So
to
if
them.
You were gonna, if you were looking in the tea leaves, you think Dean's gonna take it in Iowa? And what does it give you if you win the Iowa caucus? Because there have been a number of people who've won, including Bush the Elder, Tom Harkin, Richard Gebhardt, and a few others, and it didn't do a whole lot for them.
Yeah, well, there was a guy who basically invented the Iowa caucus. There was a fellow in 1976 who figured out that the Iowa caucuses were first, and that was a fellow named Jimmy Carter that nobody had ever heard of until he won in Iowa. And that gave him the recognition and the momentum he needed to go, and he went on to get the nomination. So you get momentum and you get recognition, and a lot of people who at this point are saying, my God, there are nine of them, there's only eight of them left, but there are nine of them, I can't keep track. After Iowa, people start to say, gee, there are only two or three of them. Who are these guys? So it's extremely valuable to be in the top two or three out of Iowa.
With me in the studio, Tom Reed, dropping in to say hello. He'll be hosting the show next Tuesday, the day after the Iowa caucuses. So it'll be a lively discussion. 303-382-1150 if you want to place some bets as to who you think is going to win. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly. Joining me now is Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits. Brenda, I thought this time we would play a little food and wine association.
Okay, Doug, I'm game.
All right, I'll give you the food. You tell me the great wine to go with it, okay? How about duck breast?
Let's do a Spanish pirato. How about ambrugge?
Sounds good. How about sea scallops wrapped in bacon?
Crisp Pinot Grigio, nice and crisp and refreshing.
Bratwurst.
Bratwurst? Well, that's not a wine. Oh, you got to do beer with bratwurst. How about Utenos, Lithuanian beer, or... better yet, flag porter. Yummy.
Lamb chops.
California Zinfandel. Dash California Zinfandel would be perfect with lamb chops.
Now, one everybody would want to know about, pizza.
Oh, lots of options for pizza. You could do a Primitivo. You could do a Sangiovese out of Tuscany, Italy.
I bet you've got one for sushi, too, don't you?
Champagne or sparkling wine. It's a great pair.
I knew you'd have the answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, located 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
Home. When you were a kid, it was the last place you wanted to be. Some of us even packed our bags weekly to run away. Now all you really want to do is run home after a long day at work, especially when you've brought the rich, distinctive taste of Starbucks coffee home from your grocery store. So brew yourself a cup of one of Starbucks' deeply satisfying coffees and sit back knowing how good life can be. Once you've stopped running, Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
KNRC Community Commitment.
The Colorado Honor Band Association will present its 51st winter concert on Sunday, January 18th at 2 p.m. at the Englewood High School Fieldhouse, located at 3800 South Logan Street. This exciting collage concert will highlight 350 talented young wind and percussion musicians from throughout the Metro Denver area. Admission is free. For more information, call 303-778-6693. That's 303-778-6693.
When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, RE/MAX. There's a RE/MAX real estate office near you, so call them today. RE/MAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 Key Bank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 Key Bank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:53 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. With me in the studio, Tom Reed, T.R. Reed, Bureau Chief for the Rocky Mountain Region for the Washington Post, and he's going to be hosting the show on Tuesday, the day after I leave. I might even call in from Venice.
Yeah, I think you should find out who won and I won.
Yeah. Well, I probably could get that from the headline if I look at the paper. You have been in Iowa, so give us, what's it been like? Has it been nuts?
It's wonderful, I think. You know, if you had to delegate to any group of Americans the job of whittling down nine candidates to two or three, I think Iowans are about the best people you could possibly give the job to. They're serious. They take it seriously. They're good Americans. They work hard. They're ordinary people. And they really know the candidates. I was there a week ago.
More PhDs per capita, I think, in Iowa, says a friend
really?
Of mine who is an Iowan.
Colorado had the highest college-educated population. Anyway, I was talking to a guy at a Gephardt rally about 10 days ago. Said, how did you pick Dick Gephardt? And the guy said to me, well, I walked the grounds of the state fair with Joe Lieberman, and John Edwards came over for dinner, and Howard Dean called me 50 times. And but I finally decided when Dick came over and talked to my wife and me for a few hours, I thought, this is the guy. So these people really know the candidates.
They come and talk for a few hours? How many places can they get to if they're going to be at each place for a few hours?
This is not only retail politicking, Enid. This is small-town general store politicking in Iowa. People in Iowa have high standards. So do people in New Hampshire. A woman in New Hampshire actually said to me, I said to her once, are you going to vote for Ronald Reagan for president? And she said to me, he's only been to my house once. That's a high standard. The other thing we're going to talk about Tuesday is the most angst-ridden, pressured, driven group of Americans. Do you know who they are?
Who?
These are 18-year-old college seniors who are trying to get into college, and particularly those trying to get into the 50 or so selective colleges. We have created a system that puts enormous pressure on these kids and their teachers and their counselors and their parents. And I'm going to have the world's leading expert on college admissions, Jay Matthews, is going to be on the show with us to talk about this. So.
There was a story about that. Kids now having to take all these tests. Here it is. USA Today had it. It's a test to make marks on kids' psyche. So there's all these No Child Left Behind where the schools have to really come up to it. And there's a lot of criticism that they're teaching for the tests. And this isn't even about getting into college. This is about getting out of high school or even getting out of grade school and being advanced to the next level. And these tests are taking their mark on kids' psyche. So that may be something else to
do. That's an interesting point. You know, there's no question about that. The fourth graders' score on the standardized test is going to determine whether or not his teacher gets a raise. So look at the pressure on that kid.
I know.
Mean, that's what No Child Left Behind did. The teachers can't advance unless the standardized test scores go up.
And then what has also happened as a corollary to that is because the school can be so heavily penalized if the test scores aren't where they're supposed to be, they have taken all the monies that they can have, mostly a lot of it from gifted children's programs, to use them against just getting the school at the right level, passing those standardized tests, getting the right passing grade. So kids who are really bright are suffering because there's not much money for those programs.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder if the whole point was to let politicians say, look, we have 492 schools that have improved over the last 3 years. You read the story about the teacher in Colorado. She'd been teaching for 18 years. Her kids had the highest test scores and everything, and under No Child Left Behind, she's facing a pay cut because she doesn't qualify as a highly qualified teacher. She didn't have the right credentials from grad school or something.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, so it's really a... It's kind of a bludgeon. It's a sledgehammer. There were problems in American schools, and they smashed it with this very imprecise instrument that doesn't seem to be working.
You just come back from one of the Dakotas. Which one? South Dakota?
I was in South Dakota for Representative Janklow's trial on manslaughter.
And what?
Surprisingly, he's the most powerful Republican in the state. The trial was in his hometown. When you drive into the town of Flandreau, South Dakota, way out on the plains, the sign says, welcome to Flandreau, hometown of U.S. Representative Bill Janklow. They are really proud of this guy, and they convicted him of manslaughter. They convicted him on the felony charge.
And when is he going to be sentenced?
Going to be sentenced Thursday. I'll be there. It's an interesting case, Enid, because he has always been a law and order Republican. He's always been one of these people who believes that tough prison sentences are the answer to
the crime
problem.
Yeah, but it was the dog ate his homework. The dog ate the diabetes, ate his homework. He tried to blame the diabetes, not himself.
He tried to blame diabetes. It'd be interesting to see if he still believes in stiff prison sentences when it's he who's facing the sentence. I asked him that very question. What? Do you still think there should be long prison sentences for felony convicts?
What'd he say?
No answer.
No answer. What's he looking at in terms of time?
He could get 20 years. He won't get 20 years. I think 1 month would be completely devastating for him. I bet he gets time in jail. I bet they give him a year. That's my bet.
A year? Only a year?
A year is pretty long for him. He started out...
Why is it so long for him? It's only 300... It's the same 365 days for him as anybody else. Why? Is he needs special care and feeding?
Ego is very high. He ran the state for 16 years. He's their only House of Representatives. And he was the state attorney general. And there are several people in the South Dakota state pen that he sent there.
Then they're going to have to put him in solitary. They're going to have to put him in some separate. They're going to quarantine him in some way.
Mm.
Tom Reed, I can't wait. I wish I were here to hear the show. Maybe I won't go to Italy.
I'll go to Venice. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe Anderson, for your fine help. Thank you, Sean McKenzie, for yours. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Let's do it again Monday. I will be here Monday. I'll be on Fox News Channel, national television tomorrow night from 6 to 7 on the John Kasich Show Heartland. So if you have a chance to tune in, I'd be delighted, and we can talk about it on Monday. Do something generous, will you? Leave the world a better place than you find it. And I'll see you noon to 3 on Monday, KNRC. Have a fabulous weekend. I'm Enid Live. Doug Kellett up next.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Goodyear. Arvada police are investigating the kidnapping of a 34-year-old man from his home today. The man was taken at gunpoint by two men and two women. The assailants made their getaway in an older model Camaro, as we hear from Arvada Police Commander Rick Boras.
They got into a gray-colored Camaro, which is being described as an older Camaro. It's got a red stripe that apparently goes over the hood and probably over the top of the car back onto the trunk. They put him in the car. They were last seen heading westbound from that location towards Sheridan.
Boras urges you to call 911 if you have any information or if you've seen that getaway car. Denver and Aurora are teaming up to create a mixed-use development that will benefit both cities. High Point at DIA will feature a high-end business park, a hotel, and a golf course. The development will be located near Pena Boulevard and E-470. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says he's happy to see Denver and Aurora bury the hatchet.
Clearly we've had battles between the two communities. There's been times when we didn't work together as well as we could have. I think this border is today an example of cooperation between Mayor Tower and Aurora and our administration in Denver.
Groundbreaking for the project will be early next year. The Colorado Attorney General's office is going after a Lakewood-based steel company for what